one of my favorites, Jeremiah 31. A new covenant. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with my ancestors when they took, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more.
Amen.
I think that's conceptual, what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Anybody want to volunteer?
I will.
Okay.
God, we come to you now and just reading from Jeremiah, just thank you for being our God, for sending the Savior, and for just having your plan for us with salvation, with grace, with joy. And we thank you for that.
Yes.
Father, I ask you to be with us as leaders of this church, that you will give us wisdom as we move forward. Thank you for answering our prayers with bringing Andrew.
Yes.
Thank you. 3 years ago, answering our prayer with Nathan being mm-hmm. with us. And I pray that you will guide us as we make a decision about Devin. Thank you for him coming here and being interested in our church and our work here. And just bless you and Carly. Father, be with Dave. Last week he was kind of hoping to wake up and everything be done and start healing. That didn't happen, just so has to be discouraging. And also with heart surgeries, depression is pretty prominent, and just ask you to be with him. And I just pray that you'll be with the doctors that are trying to figure out the next step, that you will give them wisdom. And Lord, just with different people from our church here that are hurting, we ask you to be with Gregory, be with the Dickerson family, and just thank you for her life that she lived and just her heart for the needy. And we just pray for Gregory, especially in losing his mom. And Father, for the people that have been coming here kind of new, and just ask you to be with them, that they can see this place as a place where we honor you and a place that we can serve your kingdom here.
Mm-hmm.
And just and be with us as leaders, that we can take that and just really get them connected to your work here. I ask you to be with those that are on the fringe, what we call that, are just weaker in their faith and not as loyal and committed to your body here. I pray that they will see a need for that. Be with Marlon Henley's family. We thank you for Marlon and his just life of service to you with the Maryland Heights Church and also with Camp Nietes. And just thank you for the person he was, and just be with their family as they're just kind of devastated right now. Again, bless this meeting. In your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Start with people. If there's anything pressing or needed.
Just a quick update on what's going on in next steps. I want to give you a quick update on that. Yesterday we had fewer. We knew that some were not going to be there than week one, but I don't know if you guys had a chance, but the Horns have submitted their membership documents, so they will be placing membership. And she sent pretty detailed kind of background information of their story, which was real helpful. And we were talking this morning about the first group that we were working with back in the first quarter of the year, and how a couple of those people already seem to have moved on. David Upton is, he's at Westside Church now. He's going there. That's more of a convenience.
West Central.
Thank you. More of a convenience thing. It's closer to his house. There's a couple of people that also attend the church that's in his building. So, and there's rides over there for him. So that seemed to have worked out a little bit better for him. Nina is, haven't seen her or talked with her in a while. But Josie seems to be thriving. And one of the differences is that she's connected. You know, she's involved with fellowship group. And so so that seems to be one of the wild cards that we need to think about, especially with this next group that's coming through. And we had talked a little bit this morning about it would be nice once they place membership if they get a letter from the elders, even before it's announced on Sunday. You know, we can do that and get a letter from the elders. And if we can maybe a couple of shepherd couples take a family out for lunch, and about 2:30 this afternoon, I got this second notification from the Horn. Says Norman, I also appreciate the opportunity to get to meet with a shepherd couple during the week sometime for lunch or coffee for the sake of getting to know leadership better and finding ways to get more involved despite our child care challenges. And so I think that's probably an important piece that we need to be thinking about doing, and so how we make that work. So they've already called it out, asked for it, so we definitely want to fulfill that.
And they can do it during the day and during the week?
Doing what it seems like coffee or lunch, so it's like either morning or afternoon will work for them.
Okay.
Yeah, I know he works, both of them work from home regularly.
Okay.
She's all the time, I think, at home, and he is on and off. So he has a lab sort of in the basement. And so he makes more things, I think, at home than he does at the office, or at his office, which is really strange. He's like, yeah, I built this at home. I'm like, you did what? And so, but that's when he was in Switzerland showing whatever he had built at home. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's a chemist?
He has like every degree that
exists, he's a smart guy.
So, but yeah, so he's, I don't know who he actually works for.
I don't either.
But yeah, so like a chemical engineer, I guess, probably is realm. Yeah. But he builds stuff too, so that not just making chemicals, but making things that will create certain product things.
And Miriam and Albert also filled out some paperwork. They was having trouble.
I have their picture.
Okay, good.
So she sent it to me, and it's funny. It dropped all the background off. So,
okay.
So it's just the two of them.
Okay.
So I was going to put that into the system, but I haven't got it to my computer yet.
How did we connect with them, or how they connect with us, I guess?
I think they live close by. I don't really know the full story. I think this
Brentwood Forest.
Yeah. Okay.
They walked in one day.
So they had been going to the faith church, and I don't remember why they ended up here that Sunday, but maybe they were just heading to the faith church and they saw that it was here closer, and they're like, "I will just stop in." And I was there when we met them the first time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so it was just a very odd scenario because Albert doesn't speak very much, and she has a very accented conversation, and so we're just trying to understand. And she met Joyce, and so you meet Joyce. And
she told me that it was just too big out there. That it was just good. That's they really liked it here. And I think it was a little easier for him to assimilate. And,
She
looks Hispanic. Is he?
Yes.
Hispanic too?
No, he is from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Right. And she is from
Colombia.
Colombia.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Colombia. That's right.
And the final two couple that was there yesterday was Patrick and Julie. And they are working through. It seemed like they're getting ready to plug in too. He asked about, hey, what do I need to do to start a small group, which was encouraging. So he's interested, it seemed like he's interested in starting a small group. And they live in the Clifton Heights area, right there near 44 Hampton. So that would be where they live.
I've been with Carly and Devin, start a group.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Yeah,
and then the other couple, so the Stuart and Jonna Lee jump. So she and Rosie were there yesterday.
Yeah.
But Stuart was sick.
Yeah.
So that's why they didn't stick around for class even.
Yeah, I think they're going, they've asked about paperwork too, Jeff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So they're ready to be members.
Yeah.
Just like the Horns.
Yeah.
I think.
So we're getting them to the next steps more successfully than we used to, it seems like.
We get them.
We used
to
have a lunch and that.
Yeah, Jeff was really instrumental in getting this group together.
Yeah.
He had some relationships with a lot of these people, and so he was really instrumental in getting this group together there. So appreciate that. So anyway, that's wanted to give you guys a rundown of what was going on there.
Good.
And then Devin and Carly were out of town.
Yes.
So that's why they were not here.
Yes.
For the class.
Yes.
So my wife has been talking with Dana Cobb. So Billy, her husband, I think I mentioned this before, is got cancer. You know, young man, three young kids, and so texted earlier this week, and Dana said he's in hospice. That they're putting him in. I can't remember the facility where, you know, he'll palliative care, right? Just live out the rest of his days. And so I know Jeff Kreider had been involved, and I just said, Michelle, you know, reach out to Jeff or let me, because somebody needs to help them through this time. And, you know, Michelle, you know, stay engaged, but, you know, let's make sure, you know, if Kreider's in there, Kreider would be great. And I know he'd met with him before, but anyway, just, you know, it's always sad, but, you know, a young couple with young kids and you know, kind of like you're saying, you go in and it's stage four, and it's like, you know, how did that happen? And so anyway, Michelle just got that text yesterday from Dana. That
is he in palliative care here in St. Louis?
Yeah, so he's at BJC now, and then there's like a house that
it's one out on West County at BJC West County.
Yeah, and if you say the name, I would.
Evelyn House,
that's what it's called. Yeah,
They didn't move him back to Poplar Bluff though.
No.
I thought so. I had seen a note.
Well, they were going back
a week ago, but
so they moved him a couple weeks ago, and no, so they had to bring him back.
They had to bring him back. Okay. I didn't see that.
So he had, you know, in the middle of all this, he had a stroke and everything else, and so yeah, he's at that house you're talking about, Don, and so Michelle's got all that information, but just want to make sure that, and again. The church is important when babies are born, when people get married, and when people die. And just want to make sure that we're there for them. And so, you know, I'll try to make sure Michelle and Jeff Kreider and I understand what's going on, just that we're there for them.
That's a great facility.
What's that?
It's a great facility.
Yeah.
I talked to Bob Hopper. He had a birthday about 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. He was married to Stephanie Hopper.
Oh, yeah.
And he loves coming here, but his stepdaughter, Cassidy, has a lot of mental health issues, and she wanted to go somewhere else, so he's supporting, has been supporting her.
Okay.
So we're going to get together when I get back from Utah. But he's doing well. So.
And with the Horns, I read the letter. I don't know if you guys read the letter that Steve sent out about their, you know, wanting to join. It's like, here's our background. And so there's some theological questions. I don't know who's going to follow up with those. I have children with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Do they need to be baptized? What's the story here? And And I think that's something good for us to think about, not necessarily, and I think specifically for this case, but just in general, is I think our faith tradition is, and Brad can probably speak to this, you know, the Jews have a, you know, when you're 13, you're old enough to make decisions, but if you're manfully incapable, you know, what is that age? You know, what does our faith tradition say? That, you know, I think we would say that they're without sin, you know, if they die, but I just think we need to have some kind of a understanding and an answer for people that ask. It's like, you know, my kid is disabled. What do I do about baptism? And so I just thought that was interesting, and I just didn't want to leave that lie. And so how do we respond? Because, you know, if she is a good Christian mother, that's got a weigh on her. Yeah. So what do we say?
My thought is if the child has any capacity at all and would want to be baptized,
right,
no problem. Yeah. But for the parent to force it is not something that I would recommend.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the Bible speaks to that in terms of, you know, not only Judaism, but even the common law, that, you know, if you don't have capacity,
right,
then, you know, you're in a different
right
set.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the big things is that, so generally, we are very anti-christening, so because the idea of the decision being made by that person isn't being made by that person, it's been made by the parents.
Right.
So that's why we have our parent dedication, or our baby dedication, parent commitment, or baby dedication, sort of as the, because the parents are committing to doing that and bringing them up in the right Lord. But whenever you get to the situation of a child that is unable to make that decision, in that there's, if they're incapable of making decisions, then there's no real necessarily need, I think, too.
Yeah.
It sits on that side. And generally, the churches of Christ have been pretty lenient towards that. So growing up in a very, very strict one, mm-hmm, I know that that's what they would have said. If they can't make a decision, then they're safe, because they're still sitting in that situation.
Yeah, leave that to God.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I think she is looking for guidance, and so I just don't want to leave it flat.
Yeah,
so
it's, I mean, because they have more than one kid that has disabilities.
Like, well, we have.
Oh yeah, I want to be like you. Actually, I want to be like Don. So,
that's right. Brad, we're becoming the minority.
Yeah. Well, you and Brad and Dave Weiler have just thick hair.
Yeah.
I mean, a weed eater would have trouble.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So, I'll just let Devin know we're still going through people issues. He's welcome to join us. I don't think we've got anything confidential that we need to go over. If we do,
I'll get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're probably anything else that we need to talk about beforehand? Okay. Well, I think appreciate Devin being early.
Well, you know, I came and was like, I don't know if I'm going to know how to get in the building, so I better get myself
in. Well, how did you, was Elizabeth?
Yeah, Liz was in her office, and so
I
waved, and she didn't see me, and I got closer, and I waved.
She jumped.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Thank you for being here. And so we've been through a couple, you know, I don't want to call them interviews, had a couple times to chat, but obviously we chatted on Zoom with you a mm-hmm couple times, and so we got a chance to mm-hmm know you that way, and was real impressed, and this felt like, you know, we wanted to continue to have a conversation with you, and we weren't sure how that will pan itself out, but it just kind of worked itself out, you know, the Spirit just opened up the door, and we have a need in an area, and we talked a little bit about that, and we wanted to continue to have that dialogue, and you've met with Jeff, met with Andrew, and the key players, you know, Jeff's obviously doing the job, and Andrew is, he's the lead minister, so he's going to have people in your position will be reporting to him, and so you come to staff meeting tomorrow, I think, right?
Yes, the plan.
Okay, good. And then I think you meet with Andrew after that, so
That's right. I did tell him I was going to do that. All right.
So,
I went to Chicago this weekend with my folks. They came up from Oklahoma City, and we went up there to see some old family friends from the church we used to go to up there. And so they told me when they got here that they were going to leave tomorrow morning. So I was like, oh, I thought you would be gone by then. So I skipped work today. But now I'm going to have to not work much tomorrow. I forgot about Andrew, but it's good. It's
good. My Andrew will be flexible.
Yeah. That's right.
If you need to move that, he can move it. So.
Cool.
So today's, is this informal? You know, just, you know, no set agenda. And I think we looked over some of the things you sent, that vision. I think that'll probably be part of the discussion tonight. Sure. And then just want to just open it up right now and see what anybody might have any thoughts.
What you put together was impressive. It really fits our approach that we're wanting to have and that we've tried to have. And I would say the hardest part of that whole thing is to get parents to agree for the time and stuff to be discipled for on parenting and be discipled in Christ, which is an interesting task.
For sure.
I
agree.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the best way to do it is to model it yourself, which is hard for me because I don't have kids.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, loving on their kids at least is one way of modeling it. But it's funny because you always want to be really transparent when you're in leadership. But at the same time, sometimes the best thing to do when you're trying to do something for somebody is to not directly tell them, especially if it's going to make them uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
So if you, like, come at this situation saying, well, I'm going to be here to disciple the parents, they're going to be like, what? That's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
But if it's more of just like a family minister position and they don't really know what that means, then that could be me just getting involved with their life. And and then, like, you know, for some parents, they will want direct guidance and ask for it. And others, it'll just be part of the relationship and conversation.
Right. The key to all that relationship.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in fundraising, they call it development. And I was like, what does that mean? And I realized that developing relationships with the people you're asking money for. You know,
interesting.
And that's, you know, developing relationships with the families that you'll be working with is critical.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, though. That's just, those are my thoughts. That's kind of what I see the position being.
Yeah.
First and foremost, you know.
Just in a casual way, what is your hopes and dreams for your future?
You know, it's funny because Andrew asked me that same thing last Tuesday. He's like, "Where are you aiming for? Like, what do you want to get at?" And I mean, really, I just want to be a part of a church family and be heavily involved in that. Like, I don't really have the dreams of being, you know, some mega church preacher or I mean, like, I don't know, like, I'm not a super self-ambitious person is the way I described it to Andrew as well, but I've never really had a goal in the future that I see myself, like, for myself. I've always just put into whatever the situation I was a part of. So, like, you know, growing up in music ensembles and my church family back then just stepped into whatever we were doing, and I loved it, and I had a good time. But it was never because I was trying to get somewhere. It was just because I enjoyed what was going on here, and so I wanted to be a part of that. And I think it's the same thing. I think what really got me on the track of ministry to begin with is that the going, wow, I've never put it in these words before, now that you asked that question, but going to Florida State to get a degree in jazz cleared up that route was for me. Like, to build myself up and to give me a career and to, like, foster myself forward, and which I think is why I shied away from it and was like, well, but that's not why I'm in this in the first place. That was at that point I realized that the thing I liked about the music was the social aspect, learning and teaching and being a part of a group and having a goal together. But I don't really have a goal for myself, if that makes sense. I know that might sound odd, but I'm just been a part of the group that I'm a part of and want to put into that. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
I could ask some other questions, but I can't do it legally.
That's an interesting disclaimer.
Yeah, it really is. You know, you have people, you know, applying for jobs. There's all kinds of things you can't.
Oh, ask. Really?
Oh, yeah. You can get sued for it.
Gotcha.
But we'll ask you because we don't know.
Brad is
he's
the lawyer.
Attorney.
There you go. There you go. You guys ask the question.
He starts kicking us under the table.
You can just text it to us and we'll just ask.
Well, the thing that I really liked in your outline of your vision for is the where you say foster a culture of small groups and outside the assembly gatherings, because I really think that's not only the key for the children's and youth ministry thing. I think it's a key for all of us, you know.
Yeah.
And but I like that you see that as an important part, because I think that's where the learning and the discipleship will come, not necessarily with you one on one with everyone.
Sure.
It's in these groups, small mm-hmm. groups, where everybody sees how important it is together. You know.
Yeah.
And I think that will excite then the collaboration and so forth between not just you and a family, one family, but mm-hmm. families thinking about how can we make this better for our kids as a group.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And I'm sure there's a lot of ways you can do that, but that would be, I think, really cool to see.
Sure.
More interaction between these families with small kids and with the purpose of, hey, we're here to have some fun, but we're also here to think about how is it we're going to make sure our kids love coming to church and mm-hmm. love being a part of mm-hmm. the youth group and love doing things to serve people and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And I think that's where we'll see the success.
Yeah.
All the way through high school and adulthood, you know, when you get these kids involved at early age together.
Yeah.
As a group, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that was one of the things I talked about on Tuesday a little bit. You know, one of the problems with having, for example, it's like having a youth ministry that where all the kids do is they develop relationships with each other at their own age. Well, then once they graduate and then they go to college, they're just surrounded by people their own age. That's what that was their church experience. Why would they go look for a church to be a part of? But like me, you know, my church split right at the beginning of high school, and all of the families that had the same issue all left around the same time about the same issue. And when we realized that, we were all friends, so let's stick together. And so we were meeting at my house on Wednesday nights to sing and going different places on Sunday and meeting at an old folks' home on Sunday night to sing with some of the older people that were part of the congregation. And like to this day, like the people we met with this weekend is like my second set of parents, mm-hmm. you know? And I have what I feel like a second set of parents in Tulsa and a second set of parents over in... Mm-hmm. Where'd they move? Connecticut. So it's like I just all my church family from growing up was all of the adults and the people that poured into me, and that gave me a good relationship with church. So that even when I have issues with the way things are done, perhaps, or if you know there's some political discourse and Christians are pointing themselves in this direction, or the non-Christians are not, you know, like my relationship with church and my relationship with God is solid, even if all of the little doctrinal stuff is disagree. Like I still want that home base. I feel like a lot of people lose that. Because they think church is one thing and relationships are different, but that's what church is.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What it's supposed to be. Yeah. So that's just been my experience. So
I always think the church is the people.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, it's not the institution. It's yeah.
And we're all broken.
That's right.
Oh, amen. Amen.
We can lean on each other and encourage
yeah.
each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, we talked with you first about, you know, the minister position mm-hmm. and you know, we just liked your spirit at the time, and it seemed like, you know, you weren't ready, but, you know, it just seemed like, you know, this is a great guy, you know, just really liked the spirit.
Thanks.
And it just seems that God is working in this, you know, both with Andrew and what we're seeing in you, and I just really hope that we continue to be led by the Spirit, and we say that often, and seems like this is a good fit, but hopefully it's also going to be something that you can grow into.
Sure.
And it's like jazz. You study jazz. You know, when you first start off with this position, you know, you're just going to play the sheet music, right? But pretty soon it's going to be, we're doing a blues riff in G, and
yeah.
you know, watch
go
for the
for
changes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
look at
and
you.
And hopefully...
wow. I noticed about you.
He was researching all day.
And you know, you'll be able to grow into that, but,
yeah.
you know, we want to give you a grounding, but give you a place where you can, you know, spread your wings, you know, do what the Spirit leads you to do, but Again, I just it just seems like God is doing this, and I think we're just looking for a solid, godly man who loves the Lord and loves his people. And what you said, like we read, is that's exactly what we want, is somebody to help get in there and mix it up with the people and encourage them. And, like we say, we're all flawed and we got to get real with one another. And that's the point of church is, life is hard. Life with kids is real hard. And so let's do it together because, an hour on Sunday is not going to make it happen. So.
Yeah. Sure.
I guess one thing I see in you is something that I don't see in a lot of ministers. A lot of ministers, it's okay. I'm the preaching minister. That's all I'm going to do, or youth minister, or whatever. But I see in you is just a heart for ministry and looking for wherever the needs are, and you're okay with doing that.
Yeah.
And again, we'll have a focus with children's ministry, but you'll find a lot of other gaps that we have here that you can fill.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that is my personality. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm not a self-ambitious person, is that I don't have that direct focus. It's more all of the situations I've been a part of, I see ways that I can help out and be a part of, and then ways that I'm like, I really should keep my hands out of that because I have no idea what I'm doing. That's just what my experience had been. I mean, even with music, all of my experience at Harding, for example, I was in chorus, and I was in marching band, and I was in wind ensemble because those were required. But, then I was in orchestra because, one, I liked the music, and two, they needed a trumpet player for orchestra. And I was in the pit orchestra because I liked the music, and I also, had jazz experience. I was in the jazz band and ran my own jazz combo. It was like I just did a bunch of different things. Yeah. I ran sectionals all over the place, and I just helped out where I could. For later in my experience when I was older and more of a seasoned vet, I just figured out how I could help and be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of what I was looking for in a music education job. I was really, when I was on that track, I was looking for a school where I could focus on jazz, but really like help the orchestra director, help the choir director, because I have the experience, but I just don't want to be in charge of those programs because I don't care about them as much. But I like kids and teaching kids music well, and so letting them be in their field. So.
And I guess I would also say that, we appreciate youth and vision and new perspectives on things. And I think, the staff is open to that. But in the end, we are here to support Andrew and what he's trying to do. And we need to make sure that we're pulling for him. And I mean, you guys, feel free to talk with each other. But in the end, we're going to make sure that we're going to back him in what he's trying to do. And I don't expect you to have any issues with that. I just want to let you know that, because he's a new minister. We just hired him, and we're going to guard him and make sure that we're all rowing in the same direction and supporting him. And again, there's lots of ways to skin the cat, but bring it up. But, in the end, I think we just need to kind of make sure Andrew is feeling comfortable with what we're doing and we're all supportive of him.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very similar to the way you're talking about the schools and about the idea of how being the jazz professional, let's say there, you do your thing, but then there's also the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And really that's what's going on with Andrew, because the same thing is with Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
So if Nathan starts to take over and he's preaching every Sunday.
Sure.
We preach this Sunday, this is it. That's not an option.
Yeah.
It's that kind of picture that Andrew has to be the one giving the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're working with inside that lead, that works the way it works, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And you have a lot of freedom.
Sure.
Or at least people like me take a lot of freedom. I don't know about
that. Yeah, we need to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I know.
When I see Andrew, Nathan, and you guys really working well together.
Yeah, I feel like the three of us will be really bouncing off of each other for a lot of things all the time.
Yeah.
Well, because, for example, like me coming into working with a children's ministry, not an experience that I've had. I say that openly, but not that I don't want to be a part of that. It's just, he's going to have to help me for a bit first. Yeah. So I know what I'm doing, and it's clear. But, having somebody like Andrew and Nathan to talk to who've been in youth ministry and worked with children ministers in the past, that's helpful.
Yeah.
And so, I don't really worry about the relationship I have with them that much at all, because mostly it'll just be trying to help each other do it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what does Carly think about this role for you?
It's great. Yeah. She is excited about the idea of being able to get involved herself, too. Because, I mean, that's her safe haven is kids. Mm-hmm. Which is actually, she's had a rough start to this school year because the kindergartners aren't really kids when they first start school. They're just like, they're just drooling piles of, I don't know, you know? It's starting to get to the point where there's some personality and there's some dialogue. Yeah. But at first it was like, Carly was not getting any, I guess, energy fed into her the right way from the kids. Yeah. And she never gets that from adults because she just always is paying attention to kids, right? So it's starting to get better now, but I think she's looking forward to being involved here too. We talked about it last week. It's been kind of a depressing move, and we weren't exactly sure why, but I think it was because we were really involved with our church back there, mm-hmm. and we had some friends our age in the area. And, you know, that's just when you move, even though I know you guys, mm-hmm. and I know Carly's parents. I mean, the people I hang out with is Carly's dad and his buddy who cuts grass, and I know them, and it's fine, but, you know, that's weird. And then also I was the pseudo youth minister there, and I had great relationships with those kids and always a part of something. And so she's excited to get plugged in too. Which
that makes me think about Jacob. You know, he kind of had that same experience. Jacob in the Bible.
Oh, sure. In what way?
Waiting for your in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Creates issues.
Yeah.
And Devin, I don't know if you know our history, but we have had a single children's minister before, so it's not unprecedented to have one without kids, and so that shouldn't be a worry. I mean, it changes the dynamic, and you got to be aware that there's certain things you may not fully understand, but, you know, I think it's happened here before.
But you may have more energy than the current youth. Or
maybe not. Yeah. You say that.
You can play the trumpet better.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll take that one.
Well, do you still practice? Because you lose your chops on the trumpet.
Oh, yeah, quick. I know. After I graduated from Florida State, I put the horn down for like 3 years.
Whoa.
Because I was pretty burnt on it. You know, I picked it up occasionally, and it was like, wow, man, I missed this, but. There is a certain mental culture with musicianship that still has a bad taste in my mouth. But last year I got involved, I was volunteering for a Tallahassee swing group where they would, every Tuesday night, they would play for about 2.5 hours and people would come pay $10 and like swing dance. You know, it's a bunch of old people, a bunch of young people, never heard, done anything before and everything in between. And so I was at the top of the sub list, and so they would call me whenever a regular couldn't make it, and some regular would be like, oh, hey, you want to play for me next week? I want a week off, you know, that kind of thing. And so I was starting to pick it back up and play a little bit here and there. But
you can't do the Maynard Ferguson stuff anymore?
No, not quite. Towards the end of my master's degree, I was playing lead. I was splitting lead in the big band and then playing in a combo setting. But, but yeah.
Do you think you'd want to get involved in the music in ministry here at all?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I didn't. So I grew up in a cappella church, and I always thought that contemporary praise music was super cheesy and weird. After I got past the sinful phase, I just don't like it. And then, like maybe a year and a half ago, I discovered Shane and Shane Psalms Volume 2, which has Psalm 23 on it, their version of Psalm 23. Mm-hmm. And I like kind of got into that album. And from there, I just started listening to everything Shane and Shane had, which still, that's pretty much all I listen to church music wise is Shane and Shane. A couple other things sprinkled here and there. But I'm like kind of in that phase that it seems like McKnight is also kind of in that same phase of going from a cappella to just instrumental worship. But I do think also that does help me. That kind of gets me excited too, though, because I value a cappella and the ability to sing and do those things, and I would love to be able to get involved and help keep that culture alive, even at a church that does primarily instrumental. Because I obviously, you know, we do that at camp, right? We don't take instruments to camp; we all sing, and you got to keep that running because that's something you can do in the middle of the river on a canoe trip, right?
Yeah, right.
So that's kind of the point. So, yes. The answer is yes. That was a long story for naught, but...
Good story.
Well, you can help Nathan tremendously because he needs...
Nathan?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. clappy clappy stuff, but
yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, that was a funny experience. That song, I don't think that song should be a cappella. I know that song.
It's, which song was it? I missed something.
I think it's just called Praise.
Or no, Church of the Park.
Wait, yeah.
Oh, that one.
It was the one that he had the youth group clap for and stuff.
Well, and I think the youth group was in front of a group, and that was the bigger problem. Sure. It wasn't Nate then.
Yeah, there was some
I think it went well whenever
nerves.
They did it together.
Yes.
But we call them out.
Yeah.
They're getting ready for church class.
That's right.
So.
But yeah, I have lots of... I have way too many musical opinions, which is a problem. So, so that's something I have to keep reined in, but...
Tell me something about your experience with the Holy Spirit.
Wow, that's a good question.
They didn't ask me that.
So when I grew up, the Holy Spirit was the canon that you had in front of you, written text, right? There was no holy indwelling anymore. I don't hold that view anymore, thankfully. I've always wondered about that. It's tough for me to say that I can feel the Holy Spirit, or I know that the Holy Spirit is leading me in this way or that, partially because I was raised to be very intellectual about everything and to, you know, logic my way through stuff. I was also taught not to trust my own experiences, which I think is a problem a lot of people have.
True Church of Christ.
But I know, right? That's right. Northern Church of Christ, yeah. You know. Where there's, but I don't know. I took a Christian spiritual formation class last summer. In Abilene, or last summer, this past summer, few months ago, and it was awesome and eye opening. And it, you know, when you think of a spiritual formation class, you don't really think of like physical things. You think of spiritual things. But all that class was physical habits to get you in tune with the Holy Spirit. And that was the first time that it had ever been explained to me in that way. And that was really exciting. So like spiritual disciplines. What?
Who taught that?
Houston Heflin.
Okay.
You know him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. Love him. Such a kind and humble, gentle spirit. So, yeah. I mean, I don't have tons of experience really thinking about the Holy Spirit or letting the Holy Spirit guide me, shall we say, at least intentionally. But for the most part, it's more of a trust that it is involved. And I don't know. I don't know what it means to quench the Holy Spirit. I believe that it can be done. I don't know what that means, though. What's your experience with the Holy Spirit been?
I was growing up CFC, you know, a group that when I came over to, when I was in eighth grade, to it was a McKnight then, it was Glendale Church of Christ. They said, oh, you're, you know, one of those... was the word, but you know, we were really in a group that believed that the Holy Spirit was active and
is a holy roller.
Holy roller.
But you know, there's a guy
charismatic.
Charismatic. Although I remember what's his name at the other church at
Catcher's Side.
No, Countryside was not charismatic.
No.
Now, Carl was, you know, somebody that really formed a lot of my, you know, background. But, you know, the strict CFC, you know, was like, whoa, this is really, you know, you make sure you don't drink, you don't smoke, and, you know, they forgot the one about fornication, but they, you know, but in any event, I think that over the years, we've kind of pushed the needle to the side of saying, we want to be a priesthood of all believers. And so many churches split over things that, you know, make crazy decisions. And to me, the power of the Holy Spirit is it brings people together.
Mm.
And for me, when I was about 17 years old, I walked into a group of elders, one of them was Don's father, and said, you guys aren't teaching us anything that we need to know about, you know, life and the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, we're not sure what to do, but we'll pray about it. and I thought they were going to throw me out of the church at that time. But truly, I said, thank you. And 2 weeks later, they hired a guy named Stanley Shipp, and he became the very first youth minister of that church. It's a whole other pageant of things that came out of that. But I think the Holy Spirit was let go in a way at that particular time. And I remember sitting in the house over there in the corner of where Stanley's house was, with 180 kids coming from all over St. Louis. It was a really neat time. We were a bunch of hippies. That, but I was in a group that, you know, my parents were poor and I couldn't go to a Christian school. I had to work and, you know, do things. And it was a very part of my life that was very difficult. But looking backwards, I go, wow, God was, you know, doing things that I had no idea. And, you know, I got married here and raised kids. And but I wanted to be an elder. And that was, you know, my two grandfathers were elders. And that had been kind of, you know, something that I aspired to. So I think everybody has a different path and a different way of coming to things. But being aware of what God does for us on a daily basis, you know, the Holy Spirit is there all the time. And we put so much emphasis into what the preacher says and so on compared to, you know, spending time praying and, you know, asking God to, you know, help guide our ways. And that's what I'm looking for, is somebody that has that kind of experience to help others to go in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I do think that paying attention to the Spirit and the Spirit's work and spiritual formation is one of the things that's the most severely lacking in the Church of Christ tradition, especially the tradition that I grew up in. And I think it's a difficult one to, I think part of the reason is it's difficult to say, yes, this is the Spirit. No, this is not the Spirit. Yes, this is the Spirit, right? Because we, most of what we do is just like right in front of us and what we can see plainly and what we can logic ourselves through. But I think that trust is a huge part of the Spirit, because it isn't you if you wouldn't do something, you wouldn't be a part of something if you're uncomfortable with it, unless you just like let go of that uncomfort. You just dive into something that, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know if I'm capable of doing this. I don't know how they're going to react, but I'm going to do it anyway because I know it's right. And trusting that God's going to be involved in that is at least one of the more concrete ways that I can think of as Spirit working. Recently, I've been made aware of the idea that, you know, Jesus's death on the cross, you know, there's obvious imagery that he was both the Lamb of the Day of Atonement that was blameless and free and was the sacrifice before God, and he was also the Lamb that the priest put his hands on and put the sins on and was sent away into the desert, right? So, like, obviously Jesus is both of those lambs. So there's Day of Atonement imagery all over Jesus' sacrifice. But what I didn't know up until recently is that the Day of Atonement was not primarily about forgiveness. It was primarily about cleansing the tabernacle, cleaning the dwelling place of God. So if the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament is primarily about making the tabernacle a place that God can come back and dwell in again for another year, then Jesus' sacrifice is also the Day of Atonement that cleanses his people so that God can come and dwell in them and be in their presence again. So, like, obviously something different happens there, that now that Jesus has done what he's done and we become a part of that, is that the Spirit of God comes and dwells in his temple. And so that is us. And that's, like, terrifying, but, like, we kind of have to live as if we trust that that's true. So that's where I'm at as far as what does the Holy Spirit mean in a Christian's life on a day-to-day basis and my experience with it. But even that was a logical conversation, right? That wasn't a felt thing. That was more of a, I got excited because I learned this tidbit about this theology, you know. So that's where I'm at.
So do you have any questions about the job that we're probably going to offer you?
I have so many questions, but I don't know. I don't know what they all are yet. Yeah, you know, I that's kind of where I'm at.
And hopefully, are you comfortable? I was going to say, hopefully, we're getting you comfortable that you can go into this not knowing everything, sure. And comfortable that you trust us. That
yes,
you know, we're going to let you figure a lot of this out.
Well, the reason why I felt okay about submitting my resume the first time for the lead minister position is because of the people here that I knew that were in leadership. And I know that you guys are a lot more involved than some of the churches I've been. The church that I came from, the elders just kind of handed everything off to whoever's the ministry leader of whatever. And that's like, that's why it's falling apart. So I felt good about that. You know, Eric was the one who said, hey, you should submit your resume. You'd be perfect. And I was the one that was like, I've been in this for a year and a half. You're talking about me being everybody's center of spiritual walks. Yeah. I don't know about this. But because of him being here and you guys being here, you know, I know of you the most. You know, I know the rest of you. Well, you are my – I know you too. But, like, you know, having a solid foundation of people that Carly grew up with, I felt comfortable stepping into a position that I wasn't completely ready for. Which, you know, and then when Andrew preached, and I told you guys in my second interview, like, man, go with him. Because, like, I'll do it, and I'll have a great time, and I'll learn a lot. He's looking for it. I might not be ready. I wouldn't want to replace him, you know. And so you made the right call. But, like, stepping in anyway, having some responsibilities that I don't necessarily have, you know, strong experience with, but feel like I could do, I feel comfortable knowing that you guys are here. Particularly you, because you've done it, yep. And you're not going anywhere. Right. And you, because I know your we're all long leaving. Experience of youth ministry.
We're just going to put in your hands and just walk away.
Well, I'm out. But yeah, so yes, I am both deeply terrified in a way that will make me care about it a lot, and completely comfortable because I feel like I have the support.
Great.
Which is not a position I find myself in very often. Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, I know that this job position has kind of steered away from the original, like, part-time children's minister position that we talked about in the past. And I know that you guys are not looking to hire me as a full-time person. But, like, what is the actual job offer slash, like, is there a way that you could determine, like, hours? Children's ministry, family ministry, more than that, not more than that.
Yeah.
Do you have good some question. Sort of idea that yes. you talked about yet, yeah. or you haven't talked about
probably
yet?
Probably I would say we have kind of an idea, but it's all in motion and fluid.
Sure.
So that's my thought. Anybody else's thoughts on that?
I had flipped the question around the other way. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a full-time job?
Are you looking for a part-time job?
Because I know you're in school as well.
Sure.
So.
Yes. I am looking for what you can offer me. Because I recognize that finances are difficult everywhere. I know. But, like, I think of, you know, if I'm a full-time employee here, obviously, you know, this is everything I'm going to do all the time. And I'm still going to deal with Carly's family and help Steve occasionally when I have the time. Yeah. If I'm part-time here, that gives me more time to help Steve, more time to travel for school. But at the same time, it's part-time and a little less focused, which I'm also not super happy with. I can imagine something where you guys hire me part-time now, and then as more positions need filling, expanding it out.
I think that's a good description of how.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the initial job will be part time, and then, I can envision that it can grow into something more. And you're right, the finances are, you know, we're not where we were financially 5-6 years ago.
Sure.
Because initially we were looking for a full time position. For this role, and Jeff did such a bang up job part time. We said, okay.
"Yeah, well,
so we
thanks."
We rethought that, but it was also directed a little bit about by you know financial things as well. But we want this position
and as it evolved into something full time, because we're committed to the next generation.
Sure.
Yeah, we're committed to spiritual formation. We're committed to helping people, whatever it needs to do to them to be in a mature, healthy relationship with Christ. And we realize having good people in place, you know, modeling that, directing that, giving people resources for that to happen is important for that those things to take place. And so we're being honest with where we are right now in terms of this position right now as it stands today is very likely going to be part-time. But there's a potential that it can grow into something full-time.
If we had the finances, we'd be offering full-time.
Sure. Yeah. So. Thanks. Appreciate it. It's encouraging. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, ideally, based on the vision that I sent and the kind of how I see church running is that ideally children's ministry isn't necessarily a full-time job so much as it's ministry for the whole church, and that includes the children's ministry, not something that can be neglected.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I like that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah.
So I understand it being a part-time job and that being enough.
Yeah.
Right, because that includes like really the coordinating is the really important part, but you're just a minister for the church, for the families,
yeah,
and the kids too.
Yeah. And you being a musician, you're creative, and use those creative juices to help figure out how to grow that ministry.
Sure,
you know.
And the reality of it is too that the program has, I think it's fair to say it has shrunk over the last several years for lots of different reasons.
The children's ministry specifically?
Specifically,
okay.
As far as number of families, number of kids in our classes, things like that. I think there is great potential there, particularly right now, because just before you came, we were talking about four or five families that are, you know, looking to place membership, and several of them have kids.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think we're at a good point for growth, and that's why I think really putting some focus on this now, even if it is part-time for a while,
mm-hmm,
it, hopefully with the Spirit's leading and the growth that we can expect from that, it'll grow into something that it'll be a pretty easy decision to say, you know, we need to move this to a full-time position and more resources and all that as well. But
sure.
But I think the reality of it right now is we're at a point where it has ingested a lot to bring it along to a good point, but I think that he started with less than he's got now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going in the right direction, but I think we're in a good place to really see some growth, and I think that will help us and guide us into what's next steps, you know.
Yeah.
And Devin, I like what you're saying. In my mind, you know, if we are next gen focused and we are concerned about our children, you have to be concerned about the parents. And we said it before, it's like, you know, we get them for an hour on a Sunday, and that's not going to train up the kid. And what train a kid is to have godly parents. And that means that we have to engage in the parents, and that's got to be through small groups and everything else, and finding a way for us to do life together. And I think, you know, the way to really make an impact on children's ministry is to make sure that the church is connected like you're talking about, where, you know, it's not just what happens on a Sunday morning, but with the parents and everything else. And so hopefully it can expand kind of like what you're talking about in those areas.
Yeah. I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's really easy to talk at the ideal level about everything.
Yeah, like, well, rubber hits the road.
This would hit, and it can be discouraging, you know.
Well, I mean, today's world, there's so many distractions for families.
Yeah.
I mean, more so than what my family experienced.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, and I think it is a challenge, but again, I think it happens in community. It doesn't happen just one-on-one. I mean,
I agree.
That when you get these folks together and hear them say, it's important for me that my kids grow up with a faith, and it's important for me that my kids grow up with friends that they love at church that will be good friends and good...
Yeah.
And
people are craving authentic community more and more.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten more connected, but it's so fake. And everything that they are is just isolating them, putting them in a square, and it's like not even a real relationship with anything. And that's I do see a resurgence towards real community things. I mean, I've seen like pubs and bars on the side of the road that are like have a mission statement of getting people together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's funny. Like people want it, even if they don't want it at the religious level, like they want it. And but you know, if you offer something that's really strong and foundational, well, built on Christ.
We got the little bar there. Yeah. Yeah. The coffee bar, we can make it in.
Yeah.
There you go.
Some pints down there.
Yeah. The next pub.
We'll probably need to remove the Church of Christ on our time.
As we should have done that a long time.
They will probably have to burn that off there.
So Devin, I hear that you're coming into this with caution and humility, which is great, but hopefully with excitement, because I'm excited just, you know, with Andrew and everything, and I just really am excited about what God can do, and you know, if we're willing to commit and just be real with one another. But you know, I think it's an exciting time, and I think it would be great to have you here helping us. So.
Yeah, I would love to be a part of it for sure. I'm ready to get plugged in. Mm-hmm. Just the whole isolation thing, you know. I feel
like,
I have always been heavily a part of church in one way or another.
Yeah.
And I'm just used to that. So for me now, not being at church more than once a week is, I don't even know what to do with
that. See, the other thing that you'll help us with, too, is just that we have not had a good track record with our kids that have graduated from college and gotten married. And you know, we've lost just a lot of those because they didn't have that same desire or, you know, to be a part of the community. Mm-hmm. So I think having somebody with that zeal around will help influence hopefully some of those folks too. So
yeah, I hope so. At least that was my experience. I felt like before I left at the church in Tallahassee, that culture was brooding. Mm-hmm. I had gotten together. Actually, it was one of the elders' ideas initially, but me and the other part-time minister started doing communion fellowships, where we would do communion during a potluck meal instead of during the worship service on a given Sunday. Yeah. And it was like, it was having a really good effect on people, you know, because once again, they're hanging out and like having a good time and recognizing it. And then we'd stop and take communion, and it kind of emphasized, what is this? What is this Eucharist that we do? You know, like it's not just a dumb ritual, like it's the whole point. And I think, you know, there's so many ways to show people that church is real that I feel like a lot of churches have not experienced in a long time. And I think that's one of the reasons why people have such a caricatured view of those church people or, oh, that God. You know, I don't want to have anything. It's like, you just missed it. You missed the whole point.
Yeah.
So.
Now I have an idea for Sunday.
You preaching?
No, I'm running the parent dedication. So we'll just, and a fellowship after. So. We'll just skip communion all through church, and we'll tell them, "Oh, you have to stay for lunch."
Yeah.
Well, honestly, through the small groups and home life, I would love to see Eucharist become a part of that.
Yeah,
because people would see a whole entirely different viewpoint on communion. One of the things I tried to do that got shut down at the last church was I tried to kind of just eliminate the communion talk altogether and just say the sermon always has to end with Jesus, and then that should lead into the meditation on the Lord's Supper, right? Yeah. It should just all be one thing. It should just always make us understand why we're doing that right there at the end. They shut that down, though.
Yeah. So.
But,
it's a cool idea.
If you were the children's minister, you would understand
why.
having it right after the sermon, it messes up the whole children's ministry.
Well, see,
but you can
that's
adapt.
A coordination issue. That's right. Actually, I have no idea what children's worship looks like. I've never been a part of a church that has a separate children's worship. Actually, that's not true. The church I was just at did have children's worship, but it wasn't really children's worship. It was like just Bible class round two. I don't know. It was weird.
Round one for us.
Gotcha.
Round two is Bible class.
There you go. So I'm excited. I will be here on Sunday. The Neotis.
Man. I was going to get you to preach on Sunday at every camp. But no, this is more important.
Sorry. Well, I will be there Friday. It's Friday night.
Yeah.
And Saturday night. And we'll probably leave early Sunday morning.
Okay, great.
If we can convince ourselves to get out of bed. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, can you lead us in a prayer?
Sure. Absolutely. No final questions or anything? Good.
I think our questions are going to be putting that mushing all this together.
Sure.
So if you can bear with us for a bit and
Yeah.
See what we can come up with.
Okay.
I was going to suggest, Paul spent 2 years at Ephesus making tents.
Mm-hmm.
And look what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you work for your father-in-law, you can still do ministry.
Yeah.
In ways that the Lord will make it happen.
Yeah. And he needs the help. So, that's for sure. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we can come together and be your people in your presence at any point, at any time of the week, with any one of us. And just opportunities like this to really hash out what we see in the future of your kingdom here on earth and how we can foster that and be a part of that and just be a shining light to other people who don't really know what it means to live in your reality here and now. Mm-hmm. But God, we want to be a part of that in any way that you see fit. And if things go the way we want them to, great. And if they don't, we know that you're still watching over us.
That's right.
And that you care. And that you're involved. And that you live inside of us. And we're so thankful for that. So thankful to be in your presence all the time. As we depart from here tonight, help us to keep you in mind in all things. Help us to be convicted about how we feel about moving forward on this and what it means for McKnight Crossings, what it means for all of us here at this table and our families, and just help keep you at the center of everything that we do and say, we love you so much, and it's through your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, guys. Got to get back to my folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carly. Relieve Carly from entertainment.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
See ya.
See ya.
Yeah. I love his spirit.
So, what do we want to do?
Steve had a plan about getting him connected to some of the young families.
I think this is just my thought. So I think before we offer him the job, our kind of history has been we've brought young families in, especially if they didn't really know the candidate. Gave him just an opportunity just to meet them. You know, we like them and very likely we'll hire them. But I think it just seems like an appropriate thing to do is to give them a chance to just say, hey, we really like this guy, and we see him as the next family and children's minister. We want you to meet him, you know, but that we see us taking that step. And so I think at some point, then give him an opportunity to work with Jeff up in the children's worship room, which seemed important. And Andrew seems to like him, and they're going out for coffee tomorrow. They had a time to spend together, Jeff and Andrew, last week, and Andrew invited him out for coffee tomorrow just to spend some time with him. So that's another important piece, is just getting Andrew's feedback, you know, making sure that what I'm seeing is accurate. So, especially after tomorrow. Those are just my thoughts. Those are my thoughts.
How and what are you talking about meeting with the parents? Is they like we're having a potluck? Hey, take 5 minutes and go back to this room and meet him, or
I don't really know what that looked like. Yeah, I mean, just maybe something really informal, just
a reception, maybe kind of maybe during class having a because you got kids that are in class, and I'm just talking off the top.
Well, I'm looking at timeline. What are you talking about next weekend? Because
I would say as soon as possible.
Right, that's what I'm thinking, and I don't want to wait 3 weeks.
I would actually throw it a different direction. Okay. Let me just throw a different slant in here. So I like the idea, but I get into this situation of timeline, and there's not a good option for it, really, with it not being some day during the week, which then all those families are going to struggle to be here during the week. If we're wanting to do this sort of quicker versus slower, we could, and we had talked about the idea of getting, like sort of having a fellowship for the children's families mm-hmm. with him one Sunday. So like one of the first Sundays of October, we have a couple Sundays that have nothing going on them. We can just throw it on one of those, have a pizza party. The kids can be there. They can meet him. The parents can meet him. But almost bypassing the option of them being part of the choice or being part of the conversation prior to it. If we feel that he is fitting to that role, because it's different than some of the other candidates because he's an internal. Mm-hmm. So like whenever I was chosen, nobody got I don't think there was any conversation about it outside of this room, really. Yeah. And so it's almost the same.
Yeah. He's a different intern. I agree with you. You are well known.
Correct.
Well known. He's for some parents, he's kind of a new guy, but whatever you guys decide.
So, because he knows, but his family, the family is not.
Right.
So he's sort of, I agree with you, but I think that you have to do something almost for everybody then, as opposed to a small group of people. And that's where like having this bigger fellowship for all the families to come and partake in it and be able to see it. I mean, we could talk to a few of the families and see if they're available, but I'm not real sure.
What about just like a Zoom call with select families, you know, the ones with the youngest kids or the
most invested?
I like that idea because, again, my thought is I wouldn't want to wait more than a week. I mean, I think let Andrew, what's your feedback, and then give him a Zoom call. It's like, hey, we've got this guy we're interested in. You know, it's been in the bulletin for a year and a half, and we'd like you guys to meet him, and here's a time. And I would try to get this done within a week and a half.
Okay.
And then, we can have a Zoom call and just say, he's going to be at church on Sunday, and after church, he's going to, you know, for 15 minutes after church, he'll be available.
He'll be at the fellowship, and maybe get them to connect with him.
So I would just say, do the Zoom call, meet him at the fellowship, and then plow forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I think probably the Grimshaws, probably the Sakarans, and because partly they were on the committee. The Waltons, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
If they could find a second to breathe.
It's a good timing on Sunday with the fellowship that they're having. So that's good.
Okay. Then we can have a specific one for him as we sort of welcome him in, like in a week or two, and then that way everybody can come to it. The kids are sort of making run right.
So my thought is, he meets with Andrew tomorrow. And then you get with Andrew. Hey, what are you thinking, Andrew? And, but, you know, don't talk to anybody till Andrew clears this. And, once he's cleared it, then we set up the Zoom call and then just say he's going to be available to talk with people.
Okay. Does anyone have any reservations about Devin?
I think we still need to do the background check, but other than that, I don't have any.
I need to send that to him. Or we can do the bigger one if we need to, too. We did the normal one for me, too, so how do we?
You know, I sense that he wanted a full-time job, you know, that I think is going to be something that...
It seems like he was just so that he would know his options and the other, like, if it's part-time, he's going to have to do something with Steve or whatever. So I think he bought off on the...
The way I understand it is he bought off on that, and the question would be, is he a flight risk? And the way he answered it, it's no, he's not a flight risk. Mm-hmm. That if another full-time position opened up, I don't think he's looking that. So that would be the danger, and I don't sense that.
So what Steve and I know, and I don't know if he talked to you about it, but so in our conversation, that was one of Andrew's questions, and his plan is to be in St. Louis. So the only other possibility to appoint, I mean, he almost got the job over at Rooftop. Mm-hmm. But that's because they were looking for a full-time ministry job and that was open. But it would be only one of the other local congregations if they happened to have a position that would match what he wanted prior to us offering him a position, because he wants to be here. Because this is where Chris and Steve are at. It's just right here next door. They're living at Dave's house. They're sort of buying into being here, and this is where that's the reason why they're in St. Louis.
So,
and the other thing about it is that they're not planning to leave St. Louis.
Yeah.
So Carly and Devin, or Carly and
Stacy,
or not Carly, Stacy and
her husband.
Her husband. Yeah. They're moving back here this winter. His sister and her husband are moving here this winter.
Yeah.
Because they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on top of the fact that by us sort of getting them, we're getting four other couples that are all young married.
Yeah. Great.
That we're missing.
And he has an MDiv, his brother-in-law has an MDiv.
Oh, really?
As soon as the first baby comes, it'll all change again.
Yeah. Yes. Possibly.
Yeah. So I say, hit hard and fast.
Financially, where are we? What's holding us back from full-time? I'll just throw that out there.
I would wait, even if we had the money, I would wait. Mm-hmm. And I would just see how this works and see what it grows into.
Mm-hmm. How long do we wait?
I think...
By a year, at least, I would think. You know, we would see... Maybe 6 months, we kind of look at it, see what's happening or whatever. I think it'll come to us. I mean, I think...
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and looking at him, he's needing the income. He told... Was it you and I together with him? Mm-hmm. That he needs a full-time income. And winters are slow for landscapers.
They shovel snow.
Yeah. Not much in St. Louis,
not here,
usually.
Yeah. So I think we'll just have to approach it, and we'll see.
Yeah.
So the question I would have is the 15 to 18 hours. So my daughter works part-time. She can get up to 30 hours officially and up to 45 unofficially. And so I wonder if we were to bump this 15 to 18, as opposed to being on the very small minimum part-time job, to bringing it up to 20 hours.
20 hours would be.
Or even up to 30 hours between.
Yeah,
20 to 25. We need to go 20 to 25.
Because the thing is that by keeping it as part-time, you're keeping it as not benefits to a point. Mm-hmm. And so then that way you're saving money on that side of things, but you're also giving him the ability to flex some, letting Andrew sort of keep an eye on that, and Elizabeth, but sort of just giving that more of an opportunity. And then that allows him more time to work on the other things, like these family things that I was unable to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I would say that is good to keep in our back pocket. I think you always want to start on the low end, and then you can throw more money and more time at people, you know, but I would start, you know, with what we've got, if we think it's 18 or 20 hours, and then just know that we can grow that if we want to.
And some weeks will probably be, you can answer this, more labor intensive than other times. And do we let them know that that's okay? We understand there's going to be some weeks that it'll be 25 or something like that.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I don't remember. We'd have asked Elizabeth what my numbers were during BPS.
Yeah.
I tried to make sure that they were under the 5,000 hours.
But, and I hope that we're going to revisit VPS too, because I think we need to talk about that. So,
and that's the question, that what other thing have we brought that many people in with? And so that's where.
You know, so mine is, how much pageantry is needed? If we did 50% of what we did, would we still get 80% of the people? And that's what I don't know. That's what you're going to have to answer.
Yeah, those are some big questions.
So I just know when I had kids, you know, there was a Bible study. You know, we sent them there, and the pageantry didn't mean too much to the kids or to me. And so I don't know.
Well,
again,
just
revisit it all.
At that point, Jeremy was running it. So
no, I'm thinking about my kids. Yeah.
Well, for David, it was.
Yeah.
So he had this whole thing switched into Jerusalem, and we were all up here.
Right. And so anyway, I guess my point is.
So there's the question of Jeremiah did have some of the stuff, but did not have as much as this last year. But, I mean, so it just depends on the year of how important and how much. I mean, we have $2,000 in budget, and I used, like, not even all of it.
Really?
So, I mean, because most of the stuff I got for free.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just about how much work and you're putting into it and if it's worth it.
Right. That's my question, is the squeeze worth the juice? And then we'll just have to have you talk about that, because it seems that it's, if you did half as much, you still maybe get 80% of the results, but we'll just have to talk through
it. Yeah. So. Don't underestimate what we got in just the community coming together together.
Right. No, I fully understand that. I just want to make sure that we revisit these things because it is so big. And so,
yeah. And I think it's those things we let Andrew, Nathan, and whoever the children's minister, let them revisit and see what they want to do.
Right, right. Yeah. But just Sally, same as last year, isn't just because it's so big.
No. Yeah. I mean, it was not a financial issue.
No, but I know the time that you and Beata put into this.
The previous year,
and Charles.
The previous year, I put in lots.
Yeah.
This year, I put in like half as much.
Oh, okay. Really?
Okay. Yeah, because I took two whole weeks off of work.
Yeah.
This year, I just took half days, and I came in the afternoon and worked on stuff, and because I could prepare for it. Because I started in April the one time, and had to have it done by June 1st. Mm-hmm. This time, I had a whole year to do it, and Charles was working on it throughout the months, but it was like you sort of just put it, and he had free time at work, so he had to take off. He didn't have any work to do, so he's like, I'm just gonna go over there and work on this cabin. And so I come over here, I'm like, Charles, what are you doing here? He's like, there's no work, there was nothing to do at work today. And then the week after VBS,
and that's what you
he
want.
Didn't leave the office,
because
he got stuck there, and because the work piled up, or the work finally showed up, and I was like,
So, anyway, I think. Start them off with 20, thinking in our back pocket we could always grow it depending. And if Andrew's thinking he's doing a good job, and if Andrew thinks that we can really expand this, that we have it in our back pockets that we can give him more hours or make it full time.
So going back to your first question, when I talked with Dave Weiler, actually he said at the last finance committee, we floated by not having a minister for a long time. And, we were okay. But now that full, amount is there. And looking forward in what has happened, we're going to be scraping the barrel. We're going to probably have to do some cutting in other places.
Well, that's yet to be really determined because we're also riding on a pretty good surplus as far as expenses being significantly less for a while that has, we've benefited from that as well, too. So there'll be some shaking out for sure, and particularly when we do the budget thing this way. But I don't think 20 hours.
You can't retire, by the way.
The 20 hours is not going to make or break.
Michelle and I are going to pledge $10,000. I know it's not going to float this whole thing, but we want to be serious about our commitment to this.
Well, and I think that's the answer. I mean, as we go along, if we find out that we're in a tight spot, I think we've always stepped up. I mean, we've always stepped up. That goes back 50, 60 years that I've been here, And so I don't doubt that at all. So I think it's part of just stepping out on faith and just knowing this is what we feel like is the right thing to do. And it's pretty soft. It's 20 hours a week, It's not.
And we got a lot of retired people that end of the year have got a lot of RMD. Money to donate.
We need some of the RMDs. Anybody have any of those that they can just donate?
So that's, and I think we
December's always been a good month.
Good contribution
month,
yeah.
And we can
well, and we have
harvesting of some things, but we,
it's something we have to watch, but it's like we've watched all along. I mean, this has been since COVID, it's been, contributions keep going down, and here we are. 5 years later, and we're still.
How did the and refinancing go?
Done.
Great.
So
you did it all.
Yeah. So tell me. So is it?
So in 5 years we'll have no debt on this building.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. That's whoa.
Yeah, is our payments about?
Our
what
payments
they were?
Went up $700 a month.
Okay.
Yeah. Because of the interest rate.
And on the Devon thing in the budget, it's going to be hard. But in my mind, if we didn't do this, I would just kick myself.
Yeah.
If we didn't give it a shot, it's it just, again, it's led by the Spirit. It just seems like God is making this work out. So, it's going to be hard on the budget, but it would be hard for me to sleep if we didn't try.
Yeah.
So when you birth the baby and you have to pass the baby on, it's kind of hard. So, Jeff, how you doing?
And we had the conversation before that I was struggling not with giving the job over, but with Devin. And I had telling Brad beforehand, it's like I went in there and I told Steve in the morning, I'm like, I'm not sure this is going to work. I sat down with him and it's like, no, this is, I'm happy to hand it to him today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
And because the concerns I had of him being too overpowering, which would be things that would harm Andrew and harm Nathan. Mm-hmm. It's not about me, it's about the two of them, because they're both more soft-spoken, and he came back and he is a support person more than he is that over. He has an overpowering voice, yes. I was at his wedding, so he talks.
Right.
And I know how they were. I know how Carly is. I know how he is, and I read them well. But there's something, like he's saying, that there's something has changed since that point, where music was his life and pushing and becoming the best trumpet player doesn't exist any longer, because he found a true calling, and that's where I think that. Whenever I heard that and heard like this document, as he was telling me and Steve and Andrew, like just all this stuff from his head.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve's like, can you write that down? And it's like, we should have been recording it with Brett's phone. Yeah. But I don't feel any concern.
I wonder if not just peg-holing him as the children's minister at this point, because he wants to do more.
Yeah.
And so...
yeah.
Maybe just calling him a minister.
And so, well, but then children and family.
I think family and children is what he sees himself as. That opens up the door for him to do things, you know, more things. Get involved with families and ways and the small groups. I think he wrote that document based initially on just, hey, I want to focus on families, and children is a part of that. I think that's how he sees himself.
And that's pretty much... can do about anything and connect it to family.
Fully expect to see him up there leading worship. I fully expect him to want to start a small group. I think he's going to be certainly much more than what we pay for.
I agree.
But then how can he be up there when he's back with children's worship?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Jeremy was.
It'll work.
He'll have to look. Yeah.
And they share the ministry currently. So I think that it'd be something similar, that there'd be a Sunday that he'd be up there. It could be the Next Gen Sunday. It could be any of the Sundays. Yeah. But.
And even looking at that and getting more, I mean, I always felt bad with our children's minister not being able to be a part of the worship. That's tough. I mean, if we could change the whole system up to where that part is different.
Yeah.
But we could just have children's worship.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Let them run it.
Yeah.
Cancel the adult worship.
And then what Nathan would like to do is not even have children's worship, but everyone in the auditorium together.
You'd have a parent
mind.
It has a change.
I convinced him.
Okay, good. Well, and that's the direction a lot of churches are going.
Yeah, so there are bonuses to both, but there are definitely positives to the children not being there, at least part of the time. So we have a very good hybrid method that they start off there, and then they come out.
Mm-hmm.
Because Andrew's different. Andrew can preach more on a level that kids can grasp, I think, better. Jeff, on the other hand, was not that way. And there were times he could. So, I mean, if he wanted to, he could. But generally, he did not want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the struggle, I think. And, I mean, even the teens, especially the sixth graders, are struggling right now. If you watch, they'll all leave at least one time throughout the sermon, even with Andrew there.
Yeah.
And we've had to go get them out of the rooms.
Yesterday you had to go and recruit a couple of them out of the room.
Well, they do the same thing on Wednesday nights during church, during Bible study. They're... they're going to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just had been in there for 10 minutes. And
so, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, so it's one of those things that I think that we could definitely find different methodologies for it.
We'll blame it on COVID.
Yes. And they were all in kindergarten, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So it looks like we'll wait for feedback from Andrew tomorrow and move forward with the Zoom and
And then, I mean, have you guys got an idea of a MOU, and, you know, hours and salary kind of thing, or what, how we're going to, because we're going to need that soon. Yeah. And I don't know if it's like $18 an hour. I don't even know what we're offering. So,
so would he need anything different than what I have?
It'd be more than $18 an hour.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So would it need to be any different than mine? Because he's only because he's a part-time person, so you just have to adjust it to where it's family and children ministry, and then whatever the salary range is and stuff like that. So, so you could probably just use that. And I'd have to look at it. I may have it here with me.
Yeah, or send it to Don so he's got a copy.
I kept. Let me see if I have it. It may be in this.
I wonder if even looking at. He's probably comparable to Nathan. Nathan's salary, him, you know, just in breaking that down, what that would be hourly.
I don't think he could do it. It wouldn't work. Because the benefits and everything would skew it.
Take away the benefits, just his salary. Or you don't think
he No. What I'm saying is the calculation isn't an easy calculation because of everything you'd have to factor into it and weight out of it and housing allowance and et cetera, et cetera. It's, you're not going to get apples and apples.
Well, he would be eligible for the housing allowance as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you just took...
I guess that's true.
I guess if you just took Nathan's starting salary, not the benefits or anything, divided by 2080 and
see
what that starting point is. I'm not so sure he... It would be good to start him right at what Nathan's making. I mean, Nathan's got some experience, and
He's got experience. Raises and stuff like that.
So, but it might give us a place to start. I don't know what his salary is right off the top of my head.
And I'll see if it's downstairs. I think my copy's downstairs, so I can take a picture and send it to you.
Okay.
So if it was a $60,000. And then 2080 would be $28.84.
Okay.
So just to look at, just if it was a $60,000 salary.
Does the $60,000 include the insurance? Or does
that's flat free. Out, just salary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you ended up pushing him to full-time at one point, then they would just be on equal footing to a point, other than you'd include the benefits at that point, too. Mm-hmm.
But we can look at that and see.
Because he has, 2 or 3 years of part-time experience with the other church, I think.
Yeah, year and a half, 2 years. Okay. Well, and that's just full-time. I mean, he worked with the church there. He was there, 4 or 5 years?
He'd been at the church for about 5 years, almost since they've been married.
Yeah. And he was very involved and was a part of the preaching team.
Preaching team.
Only recently. Only since he became part of the preaching team when he got hired on as the part-time minister.
Because the preacher had left.
He was on a search committee or something.
And he was on the search committee.
And then I'm not sure how long he was on a preaching team, but he was on a preaching team, and he worked with the youth. He and Carly worked with the youth, and so he's got some variety of ministry experience. So, okay. Good meeting. We're done?
Done.
7:35.
No, Steve's
got something.
I've got something here.
Yes. Yeah, and I wanted to walk you guys through this weekend, too, at one point, too.
No, you go ahead and do yours first.
So, since Brett's out, I'll quickly run you through it. So parent commitments this weekend, or parent, who that needs to be switched. Parent dedication is this weekend. And basically the thought is that there'll be probably one song at the beginning of service, and then we'll take over the thing by bringing all the families up. We'll have them do the dedication piece or the commitment, and they'll all get this in a bag and everything. So Andrew's sermon will be based on that, and it'll flow hopefully very quickly. So hopefully, because they'll all be there together, we'll announce them. We'll have some pictures of the kids, and then we'll have class, and then go to the fellowship. So, which is just a regular potluck, and then they'll have their own table. So I would suggest to try to talk to them, be around them. I haven't decided how to pray for them as a congregation, so I may be calling out to some of you to, I won't call you because you're skipping on us, but it'll be, we'll probably pray for them. And I thought about doing like we did with Andrew, is bringing them all down to the center of the congregation so that everybody's surrounding them as opposed to them up on stage. I don't know how it worked with Andrew, if it worked well. I wasn't in there whenever you guys did that. So that may be what I do. Okay. But because there's five of them, five families, okay, six kids. Well, actually, I don't know if the Joneses are coming. So Bradley and Andrew.
Who are the families, Jeff?
Yeah, so you didn't sign the thing. So there is Andy and Grace Clapper.
Okay.
So Ansel Clapper. There are Dan and Alexandra Stryker,
okay,
with their son William. You have Greg and Olivia with baby Ralph. Mm-hmm. And then you have Michael and Whitney with Mason and Matthew.
Okay.
And Bradley and Anna with Coey.
Okay.
She's the only girl, but I don't think they're going to be here. So, Steve, I need you to sign. You're the only one left to sign. But I've not heard back from them. So all I know is that Amy and Chris are out of town that weekend. So my assumption is that they probably won't be here. They've not sent any pictures. They've not responded to anything that I've wrote to them. So we've just struggled to keep them involved. And I don't know what they were here before the second baby, but pretty much regularly. But since then, they've not been back. I know that I had talked to them once, or I'd emailed back and forth with them. But so that's another thing. But. So
if they're not here, we'll just remove that. So
correct. Okay. So we don't have pictures of them, so we don't have to remove those. It's really just the one bag will just stay behind. If they are here, I may take a quick picture and have Brian throw it in there. But we'll have it all ready. So everything's ready if they show up or if they don't. I'm all about being prepared. My 1 year of being a Boy Scout, I guess, or Cub Scout. But so that it'll flow, I think, pretty quickly. It'll be the first, at the most, 15 minutes of church, and then we'll go back to songs, and then we'll have communion. Then kids will leave, so then Andrew will have his sermon, and then, but the whole congregation will be together. So that's the other piece I wanted to mention. So we are having no classes, no nursery, no preschool before it. So as soon as it's over, you'll see lots of people leave the room. So anybody with babies will probably take them back to the nursery. Anybody that preschool will take them back as well. So it's going to be probably the first time that the congregation has been all together for a long time.
That's nice.
Because even Next Gen Sunday, we have preschool and nursery.
Yeah.
But I wanted the nursery to be in there. Because that's where they're at. I mean, they're starting there. So it's one of the key pieces, and families are not just one individual. You have Mavis, you have Oliver and Zen and Sedona, who are all going to be up there on stage too. So I'm going to bring them all up on stage. So not just mom and dad, because it's a family event, and so they'll all be up there as families, and so
you got everything under control for moving into the gym then?
Yes. Yeah. So we'll have Bible class. So what that will do is that will give us, 40 minutes transition time. So the people like Samantha and Elizabeth are helping do that. Your wife is helping as well. Sue is the three people that are sort of spearheading that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of letting the fellowship team have a breather. They're helping with other things, but they're sort of having a breather from having to deal with it. Since they've had two back-to-back with Andrew's thing and then the fellowship in the park. And then we have another one coming up at the end of November. Mm-hmm. And so October, whatever month is coming next. So lots of things going on. So we sort of wanted to relieve them a little bit, but let them be sort of around and be able to not have to have that stress of another event real quick past that. So just lots of things going on, and then I'll hopefully be able to impart some words to them, and Andrew will be able to impart some words, and the Stryker family are going to be here, which could be 20 to 30 people.
Oh, wow, really?
That's great. Yes. Yeah.
They are all Lutheran, Methodist, and they were pushing for a baby, a christening.
Yeah.
And Dan's like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And so he stood up against his family to a point and said, we're going to have the baby dedication. Mm-hmm. And so it's they were very struggling to be here, I think, a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And after that, they've been here most of the weeks. Mm. And so maybe it's the baby being bigger and stuff, but it's one of those things that they're committed to being here now, which is possible.
They were at the CFS thing. Sunday.
Oh, did they go to?
Yeah.
I'd seen him on Sunday here. So.
And Angela's husband was there this Sunday. I thought they were going through getting ready to divorce.
So the dad, so they are divorced.
Okay.
So, but she has a boyfriend, I believe. And the dad has been, the dad they get along with. Like, so Alexandra's dad and mom.
Yeah.
They get along, but they are not together anymore.
Okay.
He was here, so I haven't seen him for ages. Higher Ridge is probably the last time I saw him.
Oh,
because
he'd come here a few times.
Did he?
I think, yeah.
So one of the Sundays, me and Alexandra were talking about it, and she's like, "Yeah, they're not together, but he decided he was going to be here." Uh-huh. And it's like, that's good.
And I think they sat together, didn't they?
It's possible.
Or over in the same area.
She wasn't, the one Sunday that I had seen him, she wasn't here.
Okay.
So, but they both were here this Sunday. Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
If he was here, I didn't see him. But. That's who he was. That's who it was.
Yeah. Sitting behind
the he walked out one, like during the church.
Yeah.
And I said hi to him.
With Angela,
it never clicked.
I think. They walked out together because that's how I realized, that's who that is.
That's what it was. They never clicked in my head because they weren't, whenever I saw them. Uh-huh.
So. Is he still living in Indiana and working there?
That I don't know. Huh. I thought he was here, which is the reason why he was here a couple Sundays in a row, or like in the last few months, but maybe not. Maybe he's just coming in to visit to see the baby.
Hmm. Just curious. Okay, Steve, you got something?
Yes, I do. Andrew, Vision Elders, Andrew and Steve and I, we met to kind of go over some of these documents that Brett has put out. And so we went through this and made some changes. And I didn't want to retype it because I need you to see the changes and see if this is what you want. And you probably won't be able to read my writing very well.
No, you're right. We can't.
And so I'll just start at the beginning. In fact, I see one thing on here that doesn't make sense. The all elders, shepherds of the flock. And you guys have all, I'm sure, read this. The last thing have there, welcome and connect new members. That doesn't fit at all with Ezekiel 34. So so I don't know if that should stay there. The second point, anything else for the first point? Second point, some of the elders will be focused on other areas of church leadership, administration, vision, pastoral well-being of the body. The purpose of the three-part model is to simplify decision-making functions, reduce time where the entire leadership meets needs meet for the lengthy business meeting and allow for shepherds to use their particular gifts. So the first one is admin elders. We've got those in there. And we thought that having the admin elders oversee the admin staff and then let the vision elders oversee the ministry staff. We thought that would make sense since, you know, Steve is there with them, and also I get with Nathan. We thought that, and it would relieve the admin elders some there. Any discussion on that? And then I've got a question mark on the service board of trustees. And that's not talking about CFS. Is that just the admin elders or the president, secretary, and treasurer?
No.
What does that mean?
Right now, all elders are the directors.
Okay.
And then we have president, vice presidents, and treasurers.
Okay.
And it's always been a collection of the elders that have okay. that, because technically, you know, we want to sell the church building, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
And
so we just scratch that out as service board of trustees for admin elders.
So I wonder if it was whenever there was still 12 or however many elders, and at that point maybe there was enough to fill the roles of the official board of trustees. Is that what it was?
There's
maybe
no trustee board.
Yeah.
Or directors. Like,
yeah.
So that, I was confused with that, and that's from 2013, right, when we first merged. So do you want me to scratch that out?
Well, wait. So who are agents of the church?
Well, the elders are the directors, board of directors.
No, this is a legal question of who can bind the congregation, who can sign a contract?
Officers.
Right. So, and the officers are whom? And are those the admin elders?
Steve, let's see.
I'm the president. Mm-hmm. Brad's the vice president. Mm-hmm. David is the treasurer.
Right. So I think that's why that was there, is so that then, they're the agents, yeah. And they can sign and bind. And.
So then how do you want to word this,
but
sir?
I think everybody is a vice president also. So
well, I wouldn't say that, because I was an elder here for quite a while, and I think it's only been 6 months that anything's ever been official for me, and so I was not ever an agent of the organization.
You're a secret agent.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, legally, I should not have been able to bind anything, but
It gets confusing because people, we're 501c3, and that's
right.
The form that the church, you know, going back to the very beginning, decided to use, that, you know, churches wouldn't have to have that,
right.
But that's what they chose to do.
Okay.
So the idea was the elders were always going to be in charge of the church, and that was all the elders.
Okay. And so I guess that's the question is, I think it's important that is still the point, is that the elders are the agents and so nobody else but the elders would be agents or executives of the 501c3. Now,
right.
I don't think it's as important that the admin elders, I think the admin elders should probably be the ones that can sign checks, but I don't know that that's anything that's in the legal documents though, correct?
I think all of us can sign checks. Right?
Yeah, there's others that can sign checks. Yeah. I mean, other than the elders that can sign checks.
Yeah.
But, oh, right, but that has to be, what, okay, yes, but.
Because okay. They're a director.
Right.
So when we send the bank the form that says these are the authorized check signers,
right.
We have other directors that can sign the checks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So under admin elders, that point there, do we change that up or just take it out?
They are the officers.
I mean, so I wonder if you were to move it up to point two, out before the two of the three of them.
I'm fine with that.
And put it as, like however Brad was saying, directors or however it is. The elders are the directors of the congregation.
Of the 501c3.
Yeah, are the sole directors of the 501c3. And if you feel that because the thing is if it gets down to where even right now, there are three that are admin elders. So you'd have to always keep three admin elders if you wanted to keep those as the official.
The word admin was simply for internal purposes.
Correct.
Only that,
yeah.
We made it up, you know, quite frankly, there's only elders. I mean,
Well, originally the idea was to have this shepherding model. So that, I mean, that's something that was, it's in that book there, I think, even too.
Distribution of labor.
But I could still be the president of the corporation if I was not on the admin group.
That's what we're saying. That's why we're moving
it
up.
So we just need to not have anything about it at all. Just saying that all the elders are part of the...
Right, so just move it up like Jeff was saying.
So the elders are the sole directors of the 501c3.
Right, and move that up above the bullet of admin elders.
Yeah, that's what you're under,
right. Yeah, under the number two.
Yep.
And then scratch off serve as board of trustees.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so then pastoral elders. You can read, offer pastoral care to members in crisis needing counsel or encouragement. Number two, actively develop relationships and minister to congregation through, I scratched hospitality groups because we don't use that term. I put connect groups. Mm-hmm. Greeters ministry, weekly prayer concerns, and organization of 8:45. I changed it, put that on there, Sunday morning prayer times. Then we scratched out the next one, welcome new members to McKnight Crossings and assist with new member orientation. Because we scratched that out because we were going to put it up under one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could probably just stay there.
I would say on the second bullet, I would just say an organization of prayer times.
Of prayer times, okay. All right. And then I'll leave this and take off the Ezekiel one up there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then let's see, lead and encourage pastoral team, which, okay, let's go to the next point down here. Ensuring of spiritual encouragement to all shepherding couples and staff. Is that the word there we used before? I can't read the writing.
That's what it looks like.
Yes.
Ensuring of spiritual, okay. Okay, let's go to the vision elders. Primary functions, work closely with senior minister to envision and set forth congregational priorities, teaching, and plans. Point two, with senior minister, primary communicators to the church on priorities, teaching, plans, comma, and work with spiritual formation.
Team. Yes.
Yeah. You guys can read
better. Yeah, Andrew's going to take that piece on.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then responsibility for leadership development and helping the church shepherd itself. And then I added, well, then you have to oversee ministers. Mm-hmm. And then the next point is put together strategic planning plan to involve leadership and members. And that was more just helping looking further as far as with the vision elders there. Point number three. All shepherds agree to the McKnight Crossings, all shepherds and ministers agree to the McKnight Crossings Church of Christ Shepherding Covenant. We felt like that the ministers needed to be a part of that covenant also. Number four.
But they don't have any...
I would also
this
think...
This doesn't fit. I'm sorry, guys, not for me.
I think that it would be hard to put them as part of it. Because if they were fired, it would make things different, I think. Because they're paid, it makes it where it's the same reason why the elders are the sole directors. By putting them as having to agree to that same covenant, you're sort of running into the same kind of thing. You would have to create a different covenant or a parallel covenant that they could agree to, which would be okay to have a covenant for them. But I think that the one that's for the shepherds themselves, I think, is pretty specific.
Okay. I think we have to need a covenant with them for just the team dynamics that we do have and committing to that. So maybe we can work up another one for that one. Then.
Okay.
I'll take ministers out of that one. Does that work?
I feel like we're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Okay. On this point here?
Kind of the whole thing, to be honest with you.
Well, this is something from 2013 that we kind of...
What it's from. I'm talking about what the Bible says.
Right. So let's explain, though, what your thoughts are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing about, you know, I'm a vision elder, I'm a pastoral elder, I'm an elder.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, but don't you understand, we're trying to simplify our gifts as a team of elders.
I think you're right. I think if you were looking at this, I think we all are elders. And one of your roles as an elder is as an administrative elder. You know, so that I don't think your highest calling is not an administrative elder. Your highest calling is an elder.
Right.
And
right.
then I think as one of your gifts as an elder is administrative. And you want to use that giftedness as part of your role as an elder. But you're still going to do all the other elder responsibilities. You know, but, you know, we just see you using that gift to help the kingdom, because that's what God has given you, that gift. And so, but you are an elder. You're correct. But
And don't you see that over the past few years, wouldn't you agree that this has helped us in focusing on things that we need to focus on better, and you know, I think a lot of good has come from this sort of approach, from, you know, as Steve said, using our gifts to sort of zero in on.
I think that in the past we depended too much on ministers to be driving things, and I was very hoping that this opportunity to hire a new person would be a chance to kind of reset some of that, which, you know, I'd like to see what Andrew thinks about this rather than, you know, just.
Well, but doesn't this sort of mitigate that, though? I mean, as far as.
He was very impressed with the way we did that.
Yeah, he felt like
this helped the elders to be more engaged.
And I think the last couple of years we've been more of an elder-led church than a minister-led church.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the tangible ways is even how this meeting is conducted. It's conducted differently than it was 2 or 3 years ago, because it's, and this meeting kind of sets the stage for how we shepherd, you know, what the priorities are, and we're setting those as a group of elders. And so I think, you know, at least in my mind, I don't see us being a minister-led church. I think we are I think the ministers are very involved in how we lead the church, and we should be, you know, we should definitely want that. But I think ultimately, you know, what happens in this, with this group, sets the stage for the congregation.
To me, I was hoping that, you know, you're right, we could get Nathan and, you know, others to come in and tell us about what they're doing, and then we help. But I still would like to have things like, I've asked King Lynn to help me put together at least like for the next for 1 month, who's going to do what? Because, you know, I walk in sometimes, I don't know what's going on. I don't have a clue. It seems like we should be able to know, you know, who's going to do what, when, and where. Mm-hmm. And I think, for me, it, you know, little things like starting on time and all that, we need to be able to, any elder should be able to say, here's something that we think that would make things better.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, and I guess to that, I don't disagree, but getting rid of this document doesn't help what you're talking about. This document provides some structure. To get rid of structure doesn't help with what you're talking about. I think it's a separate question. I think this gives us a framework. Now, there's still going to be gaps. Given this framework, what do we need to do to tighten some of those down? But I think you have to start with something.
Well, like I said, I think, you know, the eldership as a whole, the concept that it's going to be by a majority makes sense.
Right.
And I fully support that.
Right.
But starting to carve off certain sections where only certain people can talk to certain people. You know,
I don't understand that. Explain that to me.
Well, let's see. Pastoral
care to members in crisis needing counseling, encouragement, and so on. I mean, I think I deal with that quite a bit around here.
Oh, yeah. We've pretty much settled it. We have some admin elders that's their giftedness, and the vision elders, and there's some that have that giftedness. And pastoral elders, we're all pastoral elders. And so we all take two roles. And the pastoral is probably the most important. But we've got to have admin, and we've got to have some vision. It's those two groups. And we don't, there's like just with the, what Don did, we didn't take a vote on that. I don't think we really needed to, because I trusted Don and the admin elders with all they do on that.
So I guess a point on that is there are things that the elders need to do, which is all of these things. Now, I can't do all of these things. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. But all these things need to be done, mm-hmm. and the elders need to do it. And so this is a way to provide some structure. It's mm-hmm. distributional labor, divisional labor. And so you have your relative strengths and your absolute strengths. But, you know, there's economic theory about this. But basically it's, you know, you got to assign it, you parse it up. And the other is ambiguity of responsibility leads to inactivity. And just say everybody does going to do it means nobody's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality of life. And so, but the other is, and to your point, is so we have admin, pastoral, and visionary elders, A, B, and C. They make recommendations. They mm-hmm. don't act unilaterally. Mm-hmm. So the budget, admin elders say, here's what our budget is. Hey, you guys, here's what we plan. Bring it before all the elders. And we're just going to rubber stamp it, say, that's great. And the same thing with the vision elders. They're going to put together a strategic plan. They're not going to dictate it. They're going to bring it before the elders. They did all the work. Here's what it is. And the pastoral elders, they're going to say, here's what the needs are. You know, we need to pray for these people. You know, help us reach out to that. And so the responsibility is everybody's. But there has to be a practical, pragmatic way to make sure that it happens. Mm-hmm. And this is just a structure, but it still all should go back to this table.
Yeah.
Now, we're all going to give recommendations. You know, nobody's acting unilaterally, but we're just doing division of labor.
I agree, we need division of labor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when ultimately decisions are made, I think it is the role of the elders to, you know, make those decisions.
Right.
And are we making decisions that haven't been approved by the elders?
And Brad, I think, and again, this is a structure, we can tweak it. So if you're saying we don't have visibility into certain areas, like worship comes together Saturday, and you know, we should have it 2 weeks ahead of time, not Saturday morning. If that's an issue, you need to bring it, and we need to talk about it. And everything can't be put in this document, but you know, as those things arise, I think we need to talk about it and make sure that they're being addressed.
Yeah, sometimes that's possible. I mean, Kaylin does. There's certain areas that she's already got figured out, right? But then there's other people, you know, where she's maybe trying to scrambling to get somebody to do a communion thought. You know, somebody, you know, so that, and then she'll get that maybe midweek. And so, but that's available to us. If we want to go to Saturday night, we can look at
the order of worship.
Yes.
Yeah. Church
yes.
center.
Yes. Yeah. And again, I don't want to get into the weeds. I'm just saying that's an example. And I don't even have specifics to say that it's an issue. I think Kaylin's doing a bang-up job. Mm-hmm. I think she's doing great. Yeah. But if we are uncomfortable with anything, we should be able to bring it here. And I don't know that everything has to be put in this document. I think this should just give us structure. And that we should, all of us should talk through these things if we think it's an issue. And that's the one thing I would put in here is for these three is that these groups do the work and make recommendations to the full board for, you know, final approval. And I think it's implied, but I would like it to be explicitly stated in there.
That's basically what I'm suggesting.
But have we not practiced it that way?
Well,
But it's not written. So I think it causes a problem if it's not written. So generally with you guys, because you guys have all been around since the 12, it's not been a problem, because that was what was agreed upon whenever it was written down in 2013. But if this whole group were to change completely,
yeah, that's a good point, Jeff.
I would not read this and get that idea.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially for the new guys that are coming on board, because we're going to hand them this document.
Right.
So it would be nice to have that explicitly in this document. Yeah. Okay.
Because, I mean, some of them have been around, and so they may know. But if there's anybody that comes in that's new, I mean, it's very easy to read this and say, okay, they're the admin elders, they're the board of directors, they're the ones that are making the decisions. Steve, they're just here making pretty pictures in their head, visioning things, and Brett is somewhere in one of them, we don't know which one.
Yeah, what am I?
And so that's where it gets into a bigger concern, and I see what you're saying, Brett, that if it's written down, then as you pass it on in 2090, they'll know what it is. At that point, if they're revisiting it.
Okay.
So each leadership area will bring decisions to the full eldership for decisions to be made. Does that work? I'll put that a part of number two there. Okay. Okay. Where were we?
Number four.
Four. Mm-hmm. While seeking to be informed, elders will consistently challenge a mindset common among both leaders and the congregations that all elders must know all things at all times. Basically saying it's impossible for us to know all things at all times.
And that's why we have the structure.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because we're not sitting in on an admin's meeting on Tuesdays or whenever it happens. And we won't know the particulars about those things. Yes.
And then number five, while elders seek to know the sheep, they will consistently challenge the mindset that all elders will know all the sheep. And in parentheses, we talk about taking that one out. They must, first of all, and then putting in here, the elders will actively seek to
make connect points
to get to know the sheep through activity and connect groups, Bible study groups, various church-wide activities, and practicing hospitality. And that's kind of how we connect with the sheep.
Okay. Yeah, I like that better, because the shepherding groups have not been around since 2013.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
2014, maybe.
Yeah.
Because that sort of disappeared about a year after.
And then on 6 and 7, just kind of updating that, we decided 7 was redundant and just leave that one out. And number 6 is, elders will meet 2 times per month with all elders, lead ministers, and other ministers as they are available.
I would just say elders will meet periodically, at least monthly. And because, you know, we've had it where just once a month there wasn't enough to... I mean, I don't want to meet just because we have to meet if there's nothing to discuss. I mean, unfortunately, we've had a lot to discuss, but I would just say elders will meet periodically, at least monthly.
Yeah. Because at one time we met monthly.
Yeah.
Well, since we're past 8 o'clock, I'm going to suggest we go ahead and print it up the way you want to, and let's talk about it the next group and see where we go from there.
Okay. I will, so all this of the here stuff, with that approval, I'll do that one, and then I'll type this all up. The main thing on the second part is on the number 11, which will,
rotation model for elders, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of put a schedule that I thought, which probably shouldn't be a part of the model, but just 12:25 at the end of this year, Don retires, McGlaughn's on board, Bartowell and McPherson will intern and discern, and Jeff Kreider will spend 2026 helping to develop leadership and discern whether to be an elder. That was that's all for what I see for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then December 26, present elders and possibly Bartowell and McPherson and Kreider, which would give us 9 elders, join the elders and 2 elders rotate off, and that would make 7 elders for kind of a sabbatical, and then go. And I skipped next year when with Bardwell and McPherson there. We'll go through the elder book together as we mentor them, just kind of going through one chapter a month or something like that. That was 2025. 26, go through another book on eldership. We went through there, and then on December 27, present elders, which would be seven of them. And again, those numbers are, I just put, if it goes as we see things now, plus two other elders affirmed by the congregation and rejoin while two rotate off.
It'll be a while before you rotate off, Brett. Don't get your hopes up.
I like everything you wrote down there, but I don't think any of that goes in this document.
The stuff that's down here?
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
The only thing I think, though, in 12 is, you brought this up, and there's better ways. It's somehow we have to say we are intentional and we have a like an onboarding process or ways to mentor the elders in training, you know, because, again, we don't want to be just haphazard about that. Yeah. So I think we should probably put a sentence or two in there that we as elders need to commit to some kind of an onboarding mentorship instead of just osmosis.
Mm-hmm. I think this document will be helpful for, you know, intern elders. I don't think Jeff had this, if I recall. Did you have this document at all?
No.
Same. So I think
I don't have any documents actually, but
yeah.
Neither the whatever it was.
Well, you had links to all of these.
We have Brett's.
That's right. I give you links to everything.
So, I think physically handing the new prospective elders a couple of documents, and this one will be a key one, I think, because it entails kind of how we see the eldership, responsibilities, and how we divide and conquer, but also how we collaborate, you know. So,
and I think we should at least annually, collectively, go through the elders or the shepherding covenant, read that together, and agree on it. Yeah. And again, when before we bring Jeff on, we need to read it in front of him and just commit to it. But I think at least annually we should just revisit that and all affirm it again.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. We used to do that in January. We would have an elders retreat a day long.
Yeah.
But we haven't done that long.
So the other thing about 12 is that gets into those conversations that we've had about Nathan's graph thing that he's presented. Because here it is, the thing, we will not have deacons in the traditional Church of Christ thing. And so the question is that or changing, and if we consider those are the same wordage and verbiage, that if that document or that graph becomes fact, then these words will need to change, because it will change what ministry leaders and group leaders and stuff like that.
I like the way that this is, and we can revisit it later, but I like the way that this
I don't have a problem.
But I understand what you're saying.
The current conversation going on.
Right, and I hopefully will chew on that one along for a while, because it's going to take me a while to get there, but especially after what Devin said today. I like that. So I wrote that down. So I'll bring it up too. So
what did he say?
So he talked about middle management.
Oh.
And again, it's how we do this. So Devin said he was at a church and the elders handed things off to ministry leaders, and this is why it fell apart. And again, it's things sound good, but you have to be very careful in what you're doing. And so anyway, that was a great quote. So
well, that's kind of what has happened to deacons at McKnight.
Right.
And also at Mid-County many years ago, it just fell apart.
Right. There's ways to do it, but you have a need and you find a person to fill it. You don't have a solution and look for the problem. You don't, you know, put people in charge of things and then find things for them to do.
So are you saying handing things off to ministry leaders is a recipe for things falling apart?
No, that was Devin's quote, I liked it. I say there is danger in that, I think there is danger in the model that Nathan, with the middle management, it can work, but it would have to be a very mature congregation in my mind. And I don't think that we're there yet.
Well, that's why elders are overseers. That, you know, you have middle management, you've got to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we, what we found out the hard way was we didn't know what was going on, and then it created a split.
And again, in theory, I can understand what's trying to happen there. It's just I don't know how to make it work in reality with where we're at right now. So
I think there's some benefit in identifying capable leaders, handing things off to them. And that's what we do.
And then full of spirit, that's Act 6.
I think that's what there's not a whole lot of oversight with the food pantry. I mean, Mark Minton is running with that.
Right.
You know, he comes to us with things that he needs, and we'll talk from time to time, which is one of our most labor-involved ministries we have. And so when you start thinking about other ministries, there's not a lot of, like, elder oversight, you know, and stuff. And I think we do, it would be better if we can get them in here from time to time so that we can have...
Oh, and I say amen, 100% to that, amen. And I'm 100% on board with that. Yeah. But in my mind, that's different than that model. But, I mean, we can talk about it. But I think the first model did what you're talking about without the second model. But we can talk about it.
And to develop leadership... A whole lot goes into discipling and then also giving things over to them to take ministries on and even to fail. And that's part of the maturation process there.
Right. And I 100% with that. It's just that second model. Well, we can just talk about it later.
But Brad said we're done, so I guess we need to be quiet,
right, Brad? And so... Steve recommended two books. I'm reading through one of them. I'm getting pretty close. And again, we want to be intentional with the new elders and start reading through a book, a chapter. And so I think we should read this before we start going through it with somebody. Just so we're all in agreement that, this makes sense. We can go through this and that we understand what they're saying. And so just a challenge that to do that. The other is, we need to get this together, but if we're going to have an eldership class in Q4, we need to start thinking, we need to outline what it is we're going to talk about and what it is that, how we're going to explain what an elder is.
We're planning on getting together next Monday also to work on another document, which those three documents that we had were pretty good classes. I'm not sure if that's what your intention was for them. What's an elder supposed to do? Was one.
Well, there was documents that we had, and then I compiled them all into a document that I was putting together as draft.
And that's what this one is, isn't it? It's like 9 pages?
Yeah, I think so. And it's, big picture. And so, you know, What does an elder do, and then what does an elder do here at Mid County? So there's two different questions we both have to answer. What is an elder, and then, what is it? what's it here? What is it here doing?
In this, I think sharing this model, what a shepherd's model,
and I think it's
is,
great.
Would be good. And then, what are elders supposed to? So we're kind of looking at those being part of the class, and then you've got the qualifications that would be another class that we've not. But part of that is even in here. So we'll work on some stuff.
We're going to have some conversations about qualifications for sure with Eric as an intern elder. Mm-hmm. So we got to be able to kind of talk and defend our position on that.
Well, and again, I don't want to – it would be my recommendation not to bring that up as an issue.
Well, and that's why we decided to do three, just to be – that's just – one of many things we talk about.
I don't think we necessarily bring it up as an issue, but someone may
To have it in our back pocket.
We do.
But thankfully, when I became an elder, it's not like, you know, you know, here's all the Brett's issues, you know, and you still want them.
Because we still have that list.
We've never asked you if you've ever been married before. We just don't know.
Actually, no. Yeah, okay. But, you know, it's like, did I ever have sex before marriage? Those kinds of things. It's like, don't ask me that.
I don't think we need to ask those.
No, what I'm saying is, so I would not say the same thing with Eric, is that, hey, this guy's been divorced. And so the same way you didn't ask me and didn't make a point out of what I did or didn't do, that we shouldn't bring it up. Now, we should have it in our back pocket, be able to address it. But I'm hoping one of the classes isn't, you know, we're going to have divorced people be elders, kind of a thing. So anyway, I just want to be sensitive to that.
You talked about the qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're, like, spending a whole class on it, you're going to walk through two different passages, like pretty long passages with lots of different items. And if you bring up each of them, sort of just going through them, mm-hmm. you're going to mention that it is a man who is committed to his one wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will make it, some of the people are going to be, their ears are going to pop up because... I mean, growing up, I know, Brad and Don, you guys know, Steve, growing up in a church that's super conservative, that's going to be something that your ears are going to hear. And then we can have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because Eric's name is not in there. Mm-hmm. Because those are not going to be mentioned beforehand.
Right.
So they're not going to say, well, what about Eric? Because that's not going to be a question. It's going to be, what is this passage really saying? And so then you describe it, so then whenever Eric is mentioned, then nobody's concerned about it as much. It'll be less concerned at that point.
And I agree fully. And the thing is, I did not know Eric was divorced until, you know, maybe a year ago. And so I don't see the need.
Some people may not even know.
To even bring that up. And if they know, we just have to have it in our back pocket.
And even the whole qualifications... I'm not sure when they were put in writing if they were intended to the T for us 2,000 years later. I just don't think so. I think there are a lot of things have changed in the world. I think I've even mentioned this before. There's a lot of things we need to ask. You know, do they have a good marriage? Not are they a one woman man?
Right.
Do they have a good marriage? Do they have a good relationship with their children?
Right.
Are they engaged here at the church? Are they tithing?
Yeah, and I think those are great questions.
I think those are part of what we look for. And I think a lot of it, and I think it's in that one book I gave you also, can I give you three?
Mm-hmm.
Is talking about the whole qualifications. All the qualifications are under the heading of a person being blameless. And here are some ways they were blameless in that culture. I really believe that's... And I think today, and you know, someone that's, we look at somebody who's blameless, and what does that mean in this culture? And I think even if you got an elder, I don't think an elder is good that when it travels a lot and travels during the week and just here on weekends, I don't think that would be a good place for an elder. Anyway.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I mean, you have Timothy and Titus that get it. So two young guys, and their job is to find leaders in a congregation that are first generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, let's use this. But nobody's growing up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knows Jesus from the time they were born, and they didn't grow up in it. And so that's why it's so much different today, to a point that...
Yeah, and that's what I've read in some books is, you know, you get first generation Gentiles, and what were their lives
Jews
like?
Too. I mean,
well, right, but for the Gentiles, Gentiles were appointed elders. What was their lifestyle like?
Mm-hmm.
And we would look back and we'd say, that was some crazy stuff they were into. So what he said is, you appoint people in your congregations who you feel are righteous, godly men.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be perfect.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We put so much emphasis on the role of the elder being, you know, something that people want to say they can be an elder. When in fact, if again, we're priesthood of all believers, then it doesn't matter. But we've made that the focal point. You can take people who have all kinds of problems, who can minister and do, you know, all wonderful things. But the family is something that God designed. And when you say, you know, after 2,000 years of historical, you know, this is how it was done, I just can't throw that away, you know.
Throw what away?
Throw away that a person who has been divorced is, to me, it's the covenant that's been broken. And that covenant, it was made before God. And somehow there, it just, it feels correct that when that covenant is broken, then, you know, there are certain sins that you can't fix. But that doesn't mean you can't be a righteous person, and you can minister, and you can do all sorts of things. But same thing, if a family doesn't function properly, then that person cannot be an elder. If their children are, you know, doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
So it's not... We put so much emphasis on that, and to me, if you go with the standpoint that it's the family that God's trying to protect, I'm always going to come down on that side of it. You know, can a woman be an elder? You know, I think women do great things, but, you know, I think having that husband is a requirement. That, but that's just where I'm at. Mm-hmm.
So, Steve, can you? You're going to redraft that,
yeah.
And I guess that's not as urgent. Can you get me the job description real quick? Because what I do want to get out tomorrow, the next day, is this and the next action items for Devin, just to make sure, because it seems like we got to get hit on that right away.
Okay.
So get me this, and then I'll make sure we get that out, and then
I'll
just
go down to the
make
office.
Sure to get on the that rewrite for the elders.
I got a rough week this week with I'm having an endoscopy. Well,
oh.
Actually, that day I could probably do it because I won't be able to get out and do anything else.
Okay. So sadly enough.
Yeah. And then I leave next Tuesday for Utah for 8 days.
Okay.
I can probably do it Wednesday. Get you what I have here.
Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah, and I probably have the MOU downstairs, so down in the office, so I can get that to either Don or to you. And
right.
At least
all
as a physical.
Starting.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least a physical document, so it'll be a scan. But I can check with Elizabeth because she may be the one that actually has the physical, like the file.
Mm. She should.
I think she's probably the one that printed it out.
Yeah.
Whenever I was there the first day. So.
I was going through my files 2 weeks ago, and I found your MOU.
My interview.
When he was hired as
you signed it. It's like, wow.
Oh, the one from when I first started.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a copy of that one.
Yeah.
It was pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was impressed because a lot of times we don't like structure, but on it, you know, there were two things. You know, here's our vacation policy, and, you know, we had all kinds of policies that came with that document. And so it's like, yeah, I'm all for that. So I'm all for the structure. But, yeah.
We did that without Brett.
I know. Don
did
it. You
signed
it
all by yourself. You, I think you wrote it up.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've got that. It's like, that's wild.
That was a long time ago. That was 1986. So it was 30
quill and ink.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say I wasn't even born.
It was before computers were very.
Yeah.
It was done on a typewriter.
Yeah.
So Patty Schwab probably typed it up for you.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to call it.
You called it 30 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I know. We're waiting for you.
I kept trying. But,
yeah, I drug it out.
Yeah.
All right. Is that next week? Are you doing next month? Not next month, are you?
Yeah,
2 months.
Yeah, 2 months worth.
Yeah. He's loving it.
I can tell.
So when is the next October
14th?
I don't have a calendar.
The first is Wednesday.
Oh,
that's it's right. Dave Weiler that always has that. So
yeah.
The 6th.
Yeah.
6th.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be gone.
So yeah, have the meeting. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Actually, on the 6th, I'll be in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. You're a traveling man.
Are you going to be in a tent?
A tent?
Because it's Sukkot. So it's the Festival of the Tabernacles.
Oh, there you go. There we go.
So that week.
I won't be in a tent. We'll be in a townhouse in Utah.
I don't think that counts.
Yeah.
Yep. Fun stuff, because tonight started Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then Yom Kippur is next Wednesday.
Remind me, do we do the first and third or second?
First and third. That's what we historically have done.
Yeah.
I talked to Nathan, trying to get him to give me some dates, and he forgot. And, you know, and I said, okay, that's fine, but, you know, get back to me, because I said we did want to have as many elders as possible. I think that's an important one. Another one that's really not important to me personally, but Elizabeth's got to make sure that we understand that we have this sexual molestation things.
Yeah.
We check a box for, or I think, in, is it the one of the insurance?
The insurance,
So it's going to be good for us to go through that.
Yeah.
Is it something that we can, it's a web-based training?
Well, so there's two different options. So I think she had, I don't know if she had wanted to come do it, or, because that's what she did with the staff. So Steve and I have already done it. We're professionals.
I was out.
But were you out that day? So I am a professional. Yeah, I've done this now twice in the last 3 years, or three times, because I did it myself, and then I did with the group twice. And so it's just really running through some material, and she's figured out a way to break it down to where she tells you all the main things, and then at the end you sign the paper and you're done.
She said ours is not as comprehensive with the
correct
staff.
Yeah, well, and she the first year was, oh my goodness, it was like 3 hours long. and this one was like less than like, or 30 minutes, so she was able to condense it down. And
so that's this book, it's all right, but it needed a better editor. And so there's one of the authors, and all the authors, you know, they all have their own issues. But so he's going through it, and he's poo-pooing churches. So in the old days, the elders, the youth group wanted to go swimming, and the elders said, "We're not comfortable with that. You need to wear a shirt. You know, you guys have to have cover-ups." And oh, these guys are prudish, and so that's kind of what he's saying. And so they went to the lake for their youth group, and a couple of the elders drove by and to see if they were covered up. So the point of it was, how could you be so prudish, and why are you doing that? That's just silly. But two pages earlier, he says, now the elders have to be careful that they don't do, because it talks about counseling, that you don't counsel a woman in a room alone. It's like, well, listen, that's wise, but the same mentality is the same reason why the elders had the issue. Now, you could disagree with what they're doing, but the intent is the same. And so it's like, so that there's some things in that book, it's like, it just needs a better editor. So anyway, so all this molestation stuff, it's like, yes, we need to be involved with it, but we shouldn't poo-poo and think things are prudish because of what we consider norms. And so there's been a couple instances in that book where it's been interesting.
Mm-hmm. We are mandated reporters, and you know, we need to understand what that means.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah, some churches have gotten in a lot of trouble because they didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And some of the victims were not treated well.
Yeah. Yeah, when the safety team put blackouts on the windows, it's like, no, I wanted to tear all of them down, and I tried to pull them off as much as I could. So when I was teaching the kids, it's like, Larry, any classroom that has a kid in it needs to have a glass window in it. You know, I should never be in this room alone where there's not a window.
Yeah, and I've tried to get it to where it's not just one in any classroom. Yeah. And people will close the doors, and I'm like, I walk back by there and reopen that door back up, because it's like, even if there's one or 10 kids in there, it's... Yeah.
And I can understand what the safety team was doing, but I'm thinking, the odds of molestation is much higher than somebody coming in here with a gun.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
And I told Larry there was three doors. You got to put a window in it. And so.
Who's Larry? Oh, Larry.
Larry York. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Larry York. Yeah. He's a great guy. I miss Larry.
I don't know if anybody saw the, what I sent around today, but this AI stuff, it's really good material. I'd almost like to see us have a class on this or something.
What's the gist of it?
The gist is that basically AI is going to be required to validate that a person who's a minor can't create this stuff on their own. Because, you know, these kids have been committing suicide using AI to look up how to do it and all sorts of things. So they're finally putting in some roadblocks. But basically they're saying, if you don't watch what your kid's doing with, you know, computers, you're going to find a bunch of messed up kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's, you know, anyway.
Well, and the whole, like with the state of Missouri, they're not allowed to have phones in the class. That has gone over very well with parents and with the kids. I was surprised and thrilled. And one of the principals said, yeah, our lunchroom is really noisy now. And he said, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're talking. It's technology. I'm sure glad my kids are gone. Don't have to parent them or do all this.
Kidding.
Yeah, it's hard.
The grandchildren, you start really realizing how much time that they spend in front of a TV and
computer.
Yeah,
like our kids rarely watch TV. It in front of that computer, in front of the tablet, those are where they're.
Jeff, wanna take us out?
God, we lift up you and all that you do for us. Thank you for your son, for him coming and dying for us and him being alive, God. Mm-hmm. We're thankful for that, and it's because of that that we are sitting here around this table and giving you praise. God, we ask you to be with all the things we've talked about with Devin, with the people that we've discussed, the things going on around us and the church itself and how it flows. God, we ask you to be with all that we do, that we can glorify you
in
all that we do. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Steve Walker, did you get a new car?
It hurts.
I saw a truck where you usually park.
That's what I said too.
So did you still have the car? Did Gwen get that, or did you trade it?
I got my 2011 Kia Soul
wooden chair on my desk.
My son has it.
I sit there for a while.
No, it served me well. 200,000 miles. It was time.
These are much better.
Well, that thing was in great shape. You kept it well.
Yeah.
That truck though is nice. So what is it?
It's a Santa Cruz Hyundai.
Oh, yeah?
Nice.
I've been looking at that for a couple of years.
I didn't know. Does it have a hitch on it or anything, or a tow package?
You can add a hitch. That's more of the basic model, because the towing capacity on that is only 1,500 pounds. The nicer model, you can tow 5,000. So.
Is it have posi track, or is it just
all-wheel
drive? Oh, great. It's a pretty truck. It's like grayish kind of a thing. See you guys.
See ya.
So it's similar to Dave.
It is exactly like Dave.
It's just
really? I guess I didn't notice. Okay.
This is just you're different.
So when did you get it? Just this week?
Last Wednesday?
Okay.
I was visiting with Dave, but we were talking about because he has the same car. We were talking about it the other day. So. Yeah, I got a Wednesday.
Does it have a spray-in bed liner or anything?
It just has the,
it's got a rubberized kind of?
Rubberized liner, and then they provided another liner on top of that, like a removable one for that. So, it's utilitarian. It just has... a bed, which is what I was looking for, but I didn't really want a large truck. Mm-hmm. I didn't want a mid-sized truck. I just wanted something that I can use around the house.
Yeah, Martha likes them too. Yeah. She saw that Dave had it. She, oh, this is so nice.
because it has more space, but it also is very contained too. It doesn't look like a big truck or something.
Yeah, it's built on the same platform as a Tucson, so it's basically a Tucson with a bed, you know. So,
what was it, the Avalanches? Is that
They were a bit bigger, more of a truck. And the Ridgeline is built on the same platform as the Pilot. So it's a larger version of what I have. The gas miles is a lot more friendly on my vehicle than the Ridgeline.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
So going back to the molestation, so cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So I have several places where we can throw cameras, and we should probably put them...
Let me know. I won't put them anywhere where counseling happens, but if there's, you let me know.
The children's area.
Yeah, let me know.
Because
there's
some several areas.
Yeah.
Was it me and you talking about it? Me and somebody. It was me and Andrew, me and Nathan, or something like that.
I try to have them at the doors, but if there's other ones, you let me know and I'll do it.
There's some sections that I feel are very easy to be hidden.
Yeah. Mm.
Even inside the classrooms, just because of the way we have that big L.
Right.
And then there's the hallway there, and then there's the other room there, too, where the cabin's currently located.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, seriously, let me know, and we'll do that.
We can just walk through maybe one time. We just walk through the building and things that this could be a potential hazard.
Yep.
And we don't need those.
No.
If we have all these cameras here, 1, 2, 3. All
right. And just having them out is a deterrent, too. It's just so people know that they see them. Hey!
Time to go home, huh?
Noah, what are you up to?
Waiting for concert.
Is he your favorite dad?
Yes.
Right now, I'm excited.
Good night, Brad.
All right, friends.
Night, Brad. Next Sunday.
Steve. Skipping out on us again.
Yeah, I'm skipping out again.
Steve, you're walking a little better, but you still have. Are you feeling good, or you're
doing better?
You going to therapy, or
not therapy? Just
it's just getting better.
Okay. Just taking a little long for the body to heal.
All right.
See you
guys.
See you.
Not tonight. We've been in baseball, doing baseball every night this week.
Oh.
So he's evening Culver's.